having a fellowship. It's our custom that every once a month we take out time to fellowship together as ministers in the church, you know, as workers. It's our custom that we take out the time, you know, the way we can get busy. There's a way we can get very concerned, like you have in the case of Martha in Mark chapter 10. There's a way you can get very, very concerned, and you are not able to pay attention to some very basic things. Like I always say, that the way you grow is the way you grow. And many times that statement, especially from the source I had it, would imply that what is missing in your growth will remain missing. The way you grow is the way you grow means whatever is missing in your growth will remain what? Missing. And sometimes you find ministers of the gospel, and after a while their life and the ministry, begin to observe that unbelievably certain things are observed to be missing. Unbelievably, sometimes you ask or you wonder, who is training this one? Who is training this one? Or who has trained you? Or who trained you? Something like that. Now you like asking questions. Who trained you? Who trained you? Well, we'll ask similar questions. Though we see several admonitions given to Timothy, the pastoral letter, we see to continue in the things which he had learned. So there's a time when you are meant to just continue at something. There are other times when, you know, you are being given what later on you are now told to continue in. If it says to continue in certain things, it means there was a time when he was learning them for the first time. Praise God. It means there was a time when he was learning it for the first time. So, you know, training can be in two forms. Just for the sake of this observation tonight, because training is actually in three forms. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You have the training that comes to you because you are just picking something up for the first time. For example, this week alone, I've had to talk to about 16 of us on the issue of accountability. Even about 2 hours ago, I was still dealing with it. Like I said, the number of us are stony ears. You have stones in your ears. A lot of people, Christians. More than that, actually. But I mean that I deliberately dealt with it. You can see your faces. I dealt with it, I mean, elaborately. I've spent nothing less than 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes talking about it. Some to on call, on phone, some had to address it on chat. The address is someone like 2 hours ago, thereabout. About 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes ago, I was still addressing it elaborately. This is not just about mentioning. For some of us, I just mentioned it. But for some of us, I had dealt with it, I expressed it again, like belaboring the point. That at least about 16 of us in the last 1 week, that's from Saturday till this afternoon, you know. And I understand that. I remember, let me talk about that. And, you know, for those of us it would imply it's, yeah, I know that for some of us, you're picking that area up for the first time. For the first time. I think it was last week, Saturday, I was still with us. I still spoke in as much as that was in my focus, but I still delve a little bit into self-accountability. And immediately I was done with the meeting with us on Saturday. That same night, I still had to deal with something that happened that evening afresh on accountability. Afresh. So it looks like, you know, when you, for example, you're trying to access somewhere and it's always asking you, where's your pass? And sometimes you, let's say you traveled kilometers. Lagos to Long Ridge, about 330 kilometers. I've driven it a number of times. Sometimes you, let's say you travel from Ibadan, the long rather, you're going to Lagos, and then you get to a point, and then you, maybe inside Lagos, you're trying to enter somewhere, that's your destination, and then someone is saying, where's your pass? And then you discover that you have left your pass at home, or you didn't even know that you're supposed to be with a pass, a permit or something, and then they have to tell you to stop or to go back home. I mean, that's going to be terrible. Depending on how much distance you probably had covered, or how much stress you have gone through to get to that point. You know, so it looks like there's a point you get to in ministry that you can't go further until the training of accountability is sitting in your heart well. You don't have to pass. In fact, you even have gotten into your destination, maybe an estate or so, you've gotten inside. And just as you're about to settle down, maybe a security person then walk in and say, excuse me, please, I don't know, I'm sorry, I'm sure, I know you are in, but I just want to be ensured that everything is right. Please, do you have your pass? So you're like, but I've been given access. The place where you're supposed to have asked me for pass. I'm trying to narrate an experience I had actually in a very subtle way. A place where I'm supposed to have been asked for a pass. I've passed it. I mean, I've killed through the entrance. It's not needed again. And then the security guy says, well, I think they made a mistake. I'm sorry, you have to go out now. And then draw the attention of whatever it is. You allow this person in without a pass. I don't care who you are. Because of the caliber of people here, what we have to preserve or protect, or the interest we have to secure here, you have to go out. And then you just have to drive out of that place. So sometimes you even found yourself already in an office. Let me use that word. And then you observe that. So we're like, how did you get into this office? And that training is missing. Please go back. How did you find yourself in the compound? Did you know the security guards at the gate? Maybe one of them is your friend or your party. One of them is your friend. So they ask, how did you get in? Where is your pass? Because the pass is not just needed to come inside. It actually shows that you can interact healthily within that community. So that's what the pass shows. It's not just for access. But it shows that, okay, you are certified to relate. It shows that we are safe. We will not be stressed out trying to relate with you. So sometimes, you know, there are things like that, virtues, And that's why we are taking all the workers fellowship of this year, this season, to look at. I told you already, you are behind schedule. But that's why we're taking all of the workers fellowship of this year to look at. We look at those secret virtues that can't be missing. So it's a past. Now, if you've been in church, you observe that we don't bring people into the church as workers. This is not an assembly where 1 week, 2 weeks, people are now workers. No. You can be in our church for a whole year. You can be in church for 2 years, 3 years. And not only will you not be a worker, you are not even nominated at all. Obviously, before we walk up to you and ask you to prepare yourselves for the next membership class sessions, which are the trainings people go through to join the workforce, before we do that, there are things to look out for. And your leaders, precisely your cell leader, or the assisting function in your cell, is the one that says, I think this person should. Interestingly, I don't. For example, I think it was about 2 or 3 days ago, I was talking to two or three of them. And I was asking, what about this person? I think this person should take the next membership class. And the cell leader said, Pastor, I want to watch her for 2 months. I said, that's fine. Interestingly, I have a personal target I'm working with. The moment I had that response, and I had a response from another person, I immediately knew my target was defeated. Immediately. I knew my target was already defeated. For the workforce, the target was already defeated. But there is a protocol that is more important than my target. And so the moment the cell leader said, I think this person should. I said, okay, that's fine. And I just took my mind away from that target. I just, no need trying to work around it. That's compromise. Just push it aside. It's one of the power that office of a cell leader will. So sometimes a cell leader is to say, who nominates? Any person nominates. The moment you are nominated, then we can now pay attention to you at all. We will not pay attention to you to take membership class until you are nominated. That means the nomination has no stress to it. We won't stress. As I was only the other cell leader, I said, who and who in yourself? Are there people in yourself who should take membership class at a particular month, which is not this month or next month? And then I was the chat, and then the person was waiting for 2-3 minutes to respond. You know, WhatsApp now will tell you typing. So I just said, are you thinking about it? And the person said, yes, sir. I said, that's okay, that's fine. The moment you are thinking about it, that means there's nobody. The moment you have to think about it, who should join, who should attend the next membership class sessions in myself? The moment you are thinking about it, it means there's nobody. Or if we say, what about brother so-and-so? And you are still thinking about, should brother so-and-so take the next membership class? It means the person should not. The person should not. So, it's a protocol that we've always used, and that we will always use. Now, why am I saying that? Because there are things to be observed. To have sat down, or to have been seated, settled. Yeah. So they function like passes or permits. Because we have a goal here. We have a goal here. And Like I said to us some 2 workers training ago, that one of your watchwords should be to pay attention to what you have, to focus on it, and then to find out and do the things you need to do to make it what? To find out what needs to be done to make it grow. To make it grow. Are we together? So, one of the training of focus is to make you to actually recognize what is your home. And I believe that if there are people here in church who are finding it difficult to recognize and to apply themselves to the things that are theirs, that just has to be people that are not receiving our training here. I mean, one of the foremost training that you are going to receive the moment you join the church, which will intensify the moment you begin to have a close walk with me. When have you started having a close walk with me? You have started having a close walk with Pastor. You have started having a close walk with me the moment you are nominated for the membership class, the workforce. So one of the trainings that you begin to receive the moment you join church at all, which then begins to intensify the moment you begin to have a close walk with the vision of Jesus for the local assembly, is the virtue or the training of focus. Because we're talking about faithfulness. Yes, I brought that again to you this month. So, the training of what? Of what? Focus. Amen. The training of what? One of the greatest curses on young people is the curse of distractions. I told you, and if you are someone like me that has strength multifaceted, then you are more vulnerable. If you are someone like me that there is almost nothing that you are brought into that you can't service. For example, in business, there's no kind of business you bring my way. I'll do excellently well. Including finances. Just show me this. But before you are done showing me, I'll pick it up. Health, be well. Business is in health. Business is in oil and gas, I'll do it. Business is in sports, I'll do it. Not necessarily because money is attached. Even in aspects where money is not attached, there's virtually no such engagement. And partly over the years, it has helped me to always have somebody to call on any area, because I have so worked myself around such niches that way. There's just somebody I will call. Even if I've never ever engaged that thing in my life before, there's somebody I will call. And when I call that person, that's, I shall have somebody I will call. In any area. Is it furniture? In any area. There's just somebody I will call the person. Somebody I will call to get the work done. So if you are someone like me, then you are more vulnerable to being wasted. Because will need more energy to overcome distractions. Culture, not outliers. I hope you understand what that statement means. If you don't understand what that statement means, it means you have not been here for a long time. So, you come into church, and then one of the immediate aspects that you begin to do well in, stand as straight of focus. So I'm usually very shocked when I see somebody in the workforce who is very distracted. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Are we here? And if you are in a ministry like us, in a ministry like us, you will not find it difficult to. It won't take long. If you are in a ministry like us, it won't take long for you to observe that. It won't take long. It won't take long. It won't take a year. It won't take a year. Within 6 months, it won't take long for you to observe that. What we are looking forward to as a product of our ministry is actually you. We're not interested in your pocket. We're not interested in your certification. We're not interested in your influence. We are interested in you. It goes both ways. So the ones that coming, establishing these areas that I just listed, don't move us. And secondly, the ones that coming without any sign of establishment in these three areas, do not miss out on anything we have to do. Because whatever we are giving, making available, has nothing attached to whether you have money or not. It has nothing attached to whether what? To whether what? You have what? Certifications or not. It has nothing attached to the kind of influence you wield or not. So the one that does not have certification or influences or money will not lack, will not be denied anything.
And the one that has will not be favored. Let me use that word. Are you with me? Will not be what? Will not be favored. And that's why, look at this. It is very possible for us to tell you, go back. Go back to the previous class. Go back to the previous what? The previous training. Go back. The one that has certifications, are we together? Is also not made to lose it. The one that did not have certification is also helped to do what? To have. The one that does not have money is also helped to become established, comfortable. So it won't take long to note that salient fact that I'm actually the product. Are we together? So you observe that focus, that training of focus. Immediately, people join church. You observe that it's and focus has to do with, because many times distraction is also a kind of focus. Only that your focus is not on your goal. Distraction is also a kind of focus. Except that focus is not on the plan. So you are helped to discover the plan. I didn't say have a plan. You are helped to discover the plan. To discover the plan. Are you with me? You are helped to what? To walk in it. So, are you discovering the plan? I can begin to mention names when I'm asking such questions. I can mention names like Rotolu, and I can direct those questions to those individuals I'm mentioning their names. Bromayowa. Exactly when I observe that you have a lot of things you are not working on. I can mention many names. Are you discovering the plan? I didn't say, do you have a plan? Yes, do you have a plan is not a bad question. Are you discovering the plan? And many times, one of the things that discovering the plan does for you is that it now helps you to know how to build other things properly. So there are some things you're supposed to be praying about, releasing your faith towards. You are not busy pursuing them in a way that it lures you out of the ministry. So the training of focus will help me to discover the plan. And will also help me to focus on it. And as I focus on it, I will find myself beauty. And again, let me see this before I go into my exhortation tonight. Building takes time. And 6 years. This temple wasn't built. And you say that you will bring it up in 3 days. Definitely. You see, that is not smart. Forty-six years. So, some things should take 46 years. And don't try to do it in how many days? In how many days? They should take 40 and 50. Are you listening to me? So look at this. The train of focus, first of all, helps me to do what? To do what? Discover the plan. Secondly, helps me to do what? To walk in it. Three. What happens? The first thing the training of focus does is to do what? Is to help me to discover the plan. Number two is to what? To walk in it. Already implies building it. To walk in it. Now, number three, what did I say happens as you walk in the plan? No. Building what? Building walls. That's how you live with terrible notes. I told you that as you discover the plan and you are working in it, as you are focused on it, working in it, I told you, you will find yourself building other things around it. Did I not say that? You will find yourself building other things. I said that because earlier on I had mentioned things like finances, right? I had mentioned things like certifications, right? I mentioned things like influences. And I had to say that so that you don't think focusing on the ministry simply means to never do well in those areas. I didn't say that. Rather, I told you, you will now know how to rightly build other areas. Because your focus on the ministry is properly what said. That's why I said some things that you are supposed to pray about and release your faith about, that means I'm dealing with the natural already. Some things you are supposed to build by releasing your faith and speaking about it and praying about it, you will not go about building them in ways that lures you away from the ministry. Are you with me? Are you with me? So I now say concerning those things, some things are meant to take how many years? 40 and 6 years. Don't try to do them in how many years? 3 days. Don't even tempt the supernatural. Don't try to do them in 3 days. They are meant to take 40 and 6 years. Some things are meant to take 3 years, 5 years. For example, look at me everybody. Building a business takes about 10 years. So if you like, don't start until next year. Are you with me? So sometimes what you need to do is just focus on it. Building the foundation of a ministry many times takes some 10 years. Sometimes 20, sometimes 30, depending on what you are trying to what? What you have been told to build. Farabale. Did you know, look at me, that it takes at least 10 years for a Christian to solidly build his foundational conviction? 10. That foundational convictions, the basics, to build your convictions in the basics. Takes on 8 to 10 to 12 years. God, well, I think he will be the most perfect human. If humans are not perfect, then I think the most perfect of that imperfection will be found when God became flesh. Remove 12 from 30. That was the number of years he spent building convictions. So when winds come, storms come, you are not easily shaken. What have you been doing that you are now deep shaking? What have you been doing that you are so shaken? Are we together? So some things will take long. So look at this. The moment I see an area to build. Amen. What do I need to find out? What do I need to find out? Which plan are you discovering? Thank you. The moment you've seen an area to build, the question to ask is, how long does it take for this area to be well built normally? How long does it usually take? You roll up your sleeves, you wear your gloves, and you get to work. With a blazing focus. With a what? Look at me, everybody. Nobody here, listen to me, should be trying to make it. Nobody here listening to me tonight should be trying to succeed at something. Trying to drive something for the public to see. Trying to push something to its fruition. Nobody. Because you are in the seasons of what? Seed sowing. Sow the seed quietly, without noise. Nobody should be. I don't expect anyone here should be trying to be known. Trying to be known. Trying to be known. Must all in the ministry. It is a rat race. Are you listening to me? Look at me, everybody. True publicity is not something you push for. It is what your fruits give you. True publicity is the publicity that your fruits bring you. Your fruits are the rewards, the products rather, of your labor. True publicity, hear me clearly? True publicity in the church. This same church. What is known about you must not be what you push forth. What is known about you should be what we found out that your impact is giving. Nobody should be trying to outshine anyone. We are in the days of what? In the days of what? Seed sowing. In your careers. In the days of seed sowing. What is seed sowing? Going for knowledge. Going for what?
My birthday is this month.
I already know what the next 10 years for me is for. Into my mid-40s. And one of the instructors I have, in the next 10 years, into my mid-40s, is to sow myself as a seed in the soil of pure doctrine. So I begin to see that I've actually not started studying. Purity of doctrine. Handling Bible text in a way that resolves all the problems man will have pertaining to the faith in many decades to come or centuries to come. And we trust God. The soldier came to me and says, get down. Get thee down and sit at your desk, O man of God. Spend the next 10 years studying Bible hermeneutics. The next 10 years. So, for us as a church, the next 10 years is not the years for people to know us. You must not misplace your priorities. For us as a ministry, the next 10 years, except of course we're not following my leadership, is not a year, is not a time to, is not a period to be popular. No, we are not in that race. We are not in that race. But we will raise many pastors. We will raise many ministers of the gospel. We will heal the sick. You know what we are doing when we are healing the sick? The moment we heal the sick and we have miracles in our conferences and our meetings that goes viral, we must not respond to it. We must see that the recipients of those miracles were freed so they can sit down and learn the word. They were set free from a shackle that could have prevented them to be strong ministers. So no matter what might go into the media, because let me also tell you at the same time, the media is going to go agog. We are going to literally be accused of faking miracles. I'm the one telling you that. Because the things that will happen will be unbelievable. But we are going to observe that we will never release any statement to defend any miracle. Rather, we will find people who naturally are in positions of authority. Now, precisely I'm talking about obas and traditional rulers will be the ones at certain points that will say, no, I was there. It wasn't fixed. It's not a season to publicize self. In your careers, it is not a season to do what? To publicize self. Look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. It is not a season to push for 200,000 naira, 400,000 naira, 800,000 naira, 1 million naira jobs. That is not the season. It is the season to become so exceptional, your skills and your impact are rare. And I tell you, in less than 6 months to 8 months, the money will come. But it will not stop you, because that was never your goal. The moment you make something your goal, A disadvantage usually is that when you make something inferior a goal, when you hit the goal, you stop. So one of the things that God can help you to do in working on your heart is that majority of the things you see as goal, God can turn it in your heart to begin to see them as milestones. Never call a milestone your destination. Never call it your destination. But we are in the seasons of what? We are in the seasons of what? Seed sowing. In your ministry. Very importantly. Look at me. Look at me. Never place a demand on any relationship you have currently that is able to help you for money. You will be a stupid person. You are in a season to do what? To sow seeds into such relationships. Some of you, you go on Facebook, you see things that people do on Facebook, then you start saying, I can also do this now. I can also do this now. You forsake the fact that God's word to you for the moment is the voice of your shepherd. Facebook is not God's word to you. We are currently, if you are a member of this church, if you are a member of this ministry, if you are a team member in this ministry, we are currently in the seasons of what? Seed sowing. My consciousness, therefore, is, am I what? Am I sowing seeds at all? Am I sowing the right seeds? The right seeds into my relationships. Into my relationships. Am I sowing the right seeds into my... Look at this. Am I sowing the right seeds into my physical body? Your own body that I'm seeing. If all you do is rather than consume reputable capacity building and inspiring materials, if all you do is that you stay on skit and blog and social media, you will have yourself to blame. What are you putting into your mind and your body? See a Christian who goes about smoking. I want to believe there's nobody here who smokes. It's not impossible.
I'm a pastor now.
What you put into your body, your mind. Am I sowing the right seeds into my career? Are you with me? Are you with me? That's why if you are here and you have graduated, They are doing NYSC. They say, if you have another plan, it's time to pick up MSC form. Or else, you are wasting away. Or you pick up professional certification courses. They say, if you have another plan. Another plan means that I am not continuing in that field. So why would I take MSC? I'm not continuing in that field. If you were continuing in that field, so what's it? If you have picked your MSc or you're done, except you have other plans, it's time to pick up what? Except you have other plans. Sit. Some things that will put you in the capacity to wield the kind of influence God wants you to wield for the gospel is not signs and wonders. It is that you sowed the right seeds in the previous season. Am I sowing the right seeds into my friendships, associations, and relationships? Am I sowing the right seeds into my ministry? Into my what? My ministry. Am I sowing the right seeds into my business? Into my business. Into my business. If all you do, labor through the month, the process that comes from your business, you chop it, you are a foolish person. You will never make it. A foolish person. Eat all the process that come from your business. You're a foolish person. For some of you, the kind of seeds to sow is to find somebody within the church that you can explore something together. Or even outside the church. It doesn't have to be within the church. Explore something together. There are some of you, I tell you, do this thing with this person. Do this thing with this person. You go and do it alone. Yeah, I'll withdraw from you. I said that a very long time ago. Some of you don't get it. I told you that a very long time ago, about 2 years ago. When I tell you to do something with somebody and you go and do it alone, you will not hear from me again. You won't hear from me again. When I tell you to do something with somebody, the person did not have an idea of what you're trying to do. When I say do this thing with such person, do this thing with this person, I don't always say that. But there are instances where I say take this decision with this person or somebody. Something that allow you to look for somebody. And let me know. Do this with somebody. And then you go do it. Alone, you just not hear from me again. Because that's not very smart. I should write it. I should write it. Remember, there was a brother like that. Was going to do something somewhere in a particular place. I said, go with your person. I said, go with your person. And I went to do it alone. Another time, I said, go. some years ago. I'm just not talking about it. I'm not talking about it. Going on outreach or follow up. It's a good business. Yeah, so the person was not available. I said go on the follow up with this person. Go on the follow. This brother is troubling me. This brother is giving me issues. Go follow that brother up with this person. Because I saw it in a vision that you had a breakthrough with that fellow, and this person was with you. Even if you come back and say the person is fine now, because you went alone, even though you have the result now, I will not be part of it. Because you are not somebody who listens to instructions to the letter. I'm going to show you that one of the attributes of faithfulness is to do according to what was said, not according to what the occasion permits. Do what was said. Do what was said. I've seen people miss out on opportunities like that before. It's a big opportunity. The manager said, there's somebody that was going to join you. So see, when you travel to that place, make sure somebody is going to call you in that city to join you for the meeting you want to have. Let the person be there. And then he got into the city, and then he did not reach out early. So he said he should call this person when you get into the city. Make sure that when you are meeting those people, call the person, let the person join you. Unknowing to him was that the fellow he was told to call was actually the one that is going to supply all the money that he was looking for. So he went and had the meeting alone. Set everything. Happily, so happy that he had had a breakthrough. So he was already feeling like, this person did not need to follow me. Why would Oga say, I should call this person? I have been doing this for years. Look at this. We have sorted the whole deal. So they sorted the whole deal. So he calls the manager. You can't believe what had happened today. I had the best presentation so far. I defended all the things. Say, oh great. So what did the other fellow say? I reached out to him. He said it was too late and it wasn't there. He said, we have lost it. We lost the oath. Because the greatest proof that you were not going to mismanage the funds is that you were going to walk everybody through the digits with this person I told you, John. It was you. That's the investor. Now you have won the contract, won everything. But the money we are going to use to perpetuate it, you sideline the person. Take instructions. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't be a what? Am I sowing the right seeds? So, it's a season of seed sowing. And I hope that word is coming to us at the right time. It's going to help to shape your inputs, your activities, to direct it rather, not shape. It's going to help to direct your activities. It's going to help to enlarge your heart. It's also going to help you to manage your expectations. Sometimes people get wearied because the expectations are not properly managed. It's also going to direct you to know what you should be doing, what you should not be doing at the moment. A period of six soul. Is it clear? Into your health, your associations, friendships, and relationships, your ministry, your body and your mind, your business, your career. Seed sowing. So sometimes you observe that opportunities will show up themselves to you. So look at this. A job came to you. The job says, I will pay you 40,000 naira. I will pay you 40,000 naira. I will pay you 50,000 naira. Maybe that 50,000 naira is even lower to what you get as an allowance while you were in school. The job says, I will offer you 50,000. Then you look at the job and it comes with a lot of challenges and a lot of whatever. And then you observe that, well, this job is actually going to expose me to a lot of skills and people and places and relationships that I would not have such exposure to. You should know that job is coming to you as an opportunity to do what? To sow seeds. Don't be a foolish person. Sometimes you have like 3, 4, 5 different opportunities that you can only choose one. Okay, you are going to know what to do. By proper analysis and praying in the spirit, you are going to know. You are going to know. You are going to know. We're going to know. So, it is season to do what? To do what? And you must keep a tab on that element of focus. When you are set out on a walk, don't be carried away by things on the road. First Corinthians 4. Let's look at what we have today. Are you with me? Moment to be what? To be what? Look at this. It's a moment to be silent. I've said this weeks and months ago. It's a period of silence. One of the signs, one of the immediate signs that somebody is learning is the quietness. And noise making is not always verbal. Noise making is also in how many things you try to do in the last 1 week. It's also noise making. It's also noise making. Some of us are noise makers. Noise makers. Like one noise maker that did not have tactics. Just a noise maker. When you have strategy, and there is no tactics, you are just a what? A noise maker. Just a noise. Make noise. Went to wait for him at the bank. They have carried him away. Am I lying? Don't know the person. Don't worry.
pick them up. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise. I'll get to GT Bank. I get in there. Hey, they pick you up in this country. Who is training you? Even if you have something powerful, you are pregnant for something powerful, your attitude can abort it. So the issue is not, he has a promising future. The issue is, who is training you? Noise maker. Who doesn't make noise? Who doesn't make noise? So noise making is not only always verbal. Noise making can be in your activities. Too many places, trying too many things. You are trying too many things, trying too many things, trying too many things. Noise maker. Yeah. You can see a ministry with a noise maker, is a noise making ministry. Are we together? Don't be a noise maker. Be an impact maker. Focus. Noise making. No noise making. Is it clear, church? Look at me. Not even in the church. I don't see any noise. Focus on having what? A disciple. One. Make noise. You don't have one disciple. Noise maker. In 6 months, you have only planted one person in church. You are a noise maker. Those that are quiet and are focused will produce more results. Your primary struggles must be the struggles of having the kind of results you are looking for. You must not be observed struggling and competing with others. Your primary struggle should be in laboring to produce your kind of results, or in doing more than you did yesterday. Are you with me? Look at me, everybody. Our primary struggle as a church should be that in keeping the apostolic tradition, we triple the last attendance. Our primary struggle should be in appreciating the number of attendees in our services. Your primary struggle as a cell leader is not to have more workers in your cell than others, or to see that you are teaching God's word. No. Your primary struggle as a cell leader is to ensure that you are producing more cells. You are producing more cells. You are raising more people that can be cell leaders. And we are getting to that point in our ministry. We are not there yet, but we are just few months away from it. We are few months, like 2-3 months away from it, all things equal. 3 months away. Where you are planted to work, whatever comes out from there in 10 years belongs to you. Wait for me. That's when we will know who really has capacity, who does not. Tell you, plant a cell in Osun. Stay there. When you labor there, then a cell member or a leader comes from yourself and goes to
for tackles and plant a cell. The truth is that that cell, even if there's a pastor in Port Harcourt, that cell belongs to you that you are in Osun. And just some days away. Just some days away. So, no noise making. No noise making. Sow your seeds. What I say should do? Sow your seeds. No noise making. What do? Sow your seeds. When you are sowing seeds, you are not complaining about other people's farm. Is it clear? Look at this. By now, I should be able to stand here as a pastor and look at, if not all, majority of us, and be able to say, this is your struggle. As I'm standing right here, I can't even say, this is your struggle for some of us. What do I mean by that? I can't even say, this is where I can come in. Because you are everywhere. Everywhere. We can't even say, oh, this fellow needs some 250 for 9 months. We can't even say, what this fellow needs is 500 for 2 years. And so be patient. Once we get it to everywhere. Today you are there. Yesterday you are there. Making noise. A ministry must not be a noisemaker. A minister of gospel must not be a noisemaker. Focus on something till we'll see what you are trying to build. Then we know the kind of resources that serves you best. The same with ministry. The same with ministry. Focus on yourselves. A cell leader's work is to build a cell to the point where the cell now multiplies. And if you give me a week or two more, I'll make you to see at what point should our cells multiply. At what point is a cell due multiplication? Focus. No noise making. Sow your seeds. Ezekiel, Josh. The scripture talks about a seed time and what? And what? A seed time and what? Harvest. A seed time and what? And what? And what? And what? And how? And what? And what? I'm looking for the person that is saying harvest time. Who is the person saying harvest time? The scripture talks about a seed time and what? Harvest. He never says harvest time. Because you can harvest at any time. But every seed has a moment it must enter the soil or it will waste. Are you with me? That's the point. Give him banana to plant. You're a banana farmer. You are whatever farmer. You are beans farmer. Each seed has moments. It should be what? When they say this is the season for this, they are not saying it's time to harvest it. Hope you know. Open, open. When they say this is the season for this, what are they saying? It is time to what? To plant it. Seed time. So every seed has a moment that if you don't sow the seed at that time, then it is not usual. And if I'm not discussing outliers but culture, it means there are moments where every seed ought to be sown. Normally. Ezekiel church. There are moments. And what differentiates the spiritual man is that, yeah, it doesn't mean you discard what is in nature or what the natural says. It doesn't mean you discard it. It simply means you are actually not always governed by the natural. Your philosophy and your worldview is quite different from the worldview of other people who are not saved or who are not seeing things with respect to God's word. Your worldview is different, but that principle of seed time also applies to you. Is it clear? So the principle of seed time applies to you also, though your seed time might differ. Are you with me? From the seed time of somebody, or what you observe as seed time, what you see as a seeding time might differ from the seeding time of somebody who is not born again or someone who doesn't see things according to God's word. But there is a concept of sowing seeds, seizing opportunities. Are we together? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll talk for 30 minutes, I'll close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that the man be found what? Faithful. So we said that faithfulness is the breath of ministry. Faithfulness is the ingredient. We've said a number of things about faithfulness, and after today, let's make the teachings available and let's stay on the teachings through the coming week as from tomorrow evening. Is it clear? So report it as your daily teaching. Listen to that. Means I want to have how many reports? About 40 something reports directly coming to my wall. Amen. We said a number of things about faithfulness. We said faithfulness is that you are at your duty post. Remember when we started talking about that the language of faithfulness is what? Is the same everywhere. Then we said the focus of faithfulness is what? As from the what? The beginning. Are we together? Then the motive of faithfulness is what? Something I will do till the what? The very end. The language of faithfulness. Are we together? The focus of faithfulness. The motive of faithfulness. A faithful man is not a fair weather person. What does fair weather person mean? A fair weather fellow is somebody that loves good weather. When the weather is good, the atmospheric condition is fine. When the atmosphere looks good, the fellow is also fine with you. But the moment the atmosphere is not looking good, then the fellow begins to have issues sticking with the plan. That is a fair weather man. Is it clear? Is it clear? A faithful man is not, look at these two statements, we can say, oh, is a man of all weathers, or a man for all weathers. They are not the same thing. Or we can say, a man for all seasons is different from a man of all seasons. When you call somebody a man of all weathers, that is not a compliment. But you can call somebody a man for what? Every kind of weather. That one is a compliment. The second one implies you are faithful. Man for all seasons. When you say someone is a man of all seasons, it simply means season determines what he does. He's an unfaithful person. So don't be a man of all seasons. Be a man fit for all seasons. Not a fair weather fellow, are we together? But a consistent ally. Faithfulness. I told you that the way great ministries that we see today have so become who they are, what they are today, is because they had the ingredients of faithfulness sitting in the hearts of people. Faithfulness. You look at the ministry that is large today. It is because the people there was what? Were faithful. Anything, look at this. Anything that grows big shows what? Shows what? Is a reflection of what? Faithfulness. I'm not saying that the fellow person was faithful to God, though. But I'm saying that anything that you observe today that becomes so what? Large. It could be business. That's why sometimes my approach or commentaries at events, sometimes some of my friends are like, what is the deal? Because sometimes while you are trying to rebuke something and find fault it, I will just pick on that thing and show you what is good in it, even when the whole enterprise is not good or commending. And I said to him, I said, the truth of the matter is that you can't fault loyalty, but you can fault being loyal to a wrong cause. So if we are trying to rebuke people, castigate people, judge people, events, yes, we might say, oh, this was a bad enterprise. Oh, this is, for example, you see people that you go somewhere and then they do something terrible. They say, yeah, that it was a team. They went and they broke something. Well, at no point should we commend theft and robbery. Are we together? But there's something such as teamwork. Are we together? Are we together? You can't fault loyalty. You can't fault faithfulness. That is something I talk about some of these olden days Christians, some of our parents or grandparents. I literally came across the story of a woman who had an infirmity in her body. She had an infirmity in her body, and then, you know, she had come from a ministry background where they usually teach against the use of medical science. They're against surgery, they're against drugs, they're against medicines, you know, all of that. They're even against going to the hospital. It's such an extreme teaching on faith in God's power. Now, that ministry, they had so much signs and wonders. I actually believe, let me think about it again. I think that in the history of Pentecostal churches, Aladra, that ministry has the greatest signs and wonders so far. It's a denomination I can mention to you. Now, I know that recently their approach has changed. In fact, some of them now even have hospitals. Their approach has changed. But when the founder was alive, he would even never pray for you if you mentioned that you had gone to the hospital. Interestingly, he hardly prayed for somebody and the person is not healed, no matter the condition. I'm talking about somebody that saw 14 hunchbacks healed in one crusade. 14 hunchbacks. I'm talking about somebody that had about 70 stone blind eyes healed in 2 weeks. Of a revival in a community of villages. Apostle Joseph Ibabalola of CAC. Are we together? While he was around, you will not. In fact, it was part of why it is believed that he died early. Yeah, definitely, obviously, Babalola died of stress in ministry. He was stressed out. He was stressed out. He was completely stressed out. He was completely. Yeah. So what? They will not. So I remember a woman like that. God asked, "Oh, the woman attended." So I said, "Oh God." So well, the woman actually gave up. She gave up, and she was saying, "In fact, actually, when I was exhausting us on Thursday, that even when what you believe for didn't happen, I was talking about faith, taking my lessons from that particular event that they had been in my head since that Thursday afternoon, because I've been studying on some materials on healing." You know, so she died. So we were talking about it, and then someone said, all these devilish doctrines. Well, the truth of the matter is that it's not God's word that you should abstain completely from medical science, and all that's not God's word. But I now decide to say that how many of us believe in what we currently be. We that we say we are word men. We are saying she is not a word man. She would not have rejected medical science. They didn't know the world. They didn't have exegesis of the exegesis of exegetical exegesis. That's why she did not. Medicine is not against faith. God is not anti-medicine. It's fine. Okay. We now know you have the word. The thing that you believe in the word, can you demonstrate her faithfulness to her knowledge, to your own faithfulness with your knowledge? Can you compare? We can learn faithfulness from her faithfulness. Many times, it's not everything in the dirty water that should be discarded completely. Something can be useful. Sometimes some of our parents are like that. That they suffered a particular thing so much because they will not go back on the word. Do we have more knowledge? Do we have their level of faithfulness to stick with what you know that God has said? No matter the experience. That is a faithful man. Are we together, church? I spoke about accountability. I said a faithful man is one that recognizes that he is under authority and will not use the privilege of that authority without permissions or consent. Never use the privilege of your authority without consent or permission. That is another lesson on accountability that maybe you have not had. Are we clear, church? Are we clear, church? A faithful person recognizes that having an authority, sit down, folks. A faithful person recognizes that having an authority is a privilege. having privileges, are we together, is a function of, you know, being counted faithful. Being counted faithful. So, a faithful man does not use his privileges anyhow. Are we together? Are we together? I was talking to a parent, I think that's about 4 months now. I told the fellow, I said, now, we got Jovia a little bit. Even though the conversation started a little bit hot, we got Jovia a little bit. And I said, jokingly, I mean, that's the only way I could have said it. I wanted to say it. There was no way I could say it. So I had to suffer the conversation going into Jovia point and then saying it and then allowing it to become hot again. You don't know why I'm here. I'm actually here to fight. A pastor is a fighter. He struggles to see you stand in God's plan. He must be ready. And so must she also be ready when she is a woman. When it's a woman. Is it clear? Is it clear? That's what I said, actually, could this be a test of our faithfulness to the privilege that we have received to be parents? That person is one of his parents. Betty does not even know that I have not married. Betty doesn't know. Betty doesn't know. I have not married. Because parenthood is a privilege that not everybody has. So people are looking for children for 20 years. They have not got it. You have 5. To give one to the Lord is wahala. You are an unfaithful person. An unfaithful person. To give one to the Lord is wahala. To give one to the Lord. What do you say about people like Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she gave all of the fruits of her womb to the service of God. All of them. Parenthood is a what? Is a what? Is a privilege. Being a boss at work is a what? Is a privilege. Being an elder sibling is a what? Being the head of a home. Now, who is the head of a home? Huh? Who is the head of a home? The head of a home has not changed you. The head of a home is the man. Are we together? I hope that culture has not changed in 2025. In the World Life Believers Community Church. The pastor will explain. Wait, let's wait till the pastor explain that scripture for. I have explained it too. The Greek word for head is head. The Greek word for the man is man. So if the man is the head, the Hebrew word and the Greek and the Latin, the Septuagint says the man is the head. Are we together? I just want to say, my husband said I should not come to church. He says, what are you doing here? Sir? My husband said I should not come to church again. So what are you doing here? I will not tolerate disobeying your husband. Ah, sir? Ah? Is he right, boy? He's wrong. Who told you to marry a thug?
When we're telling him to pray about it, he said no, that the scripture in Genesis chapter whatever that was actually referring to you, let no man put us under, including the pastor, that the man, the word man there, the Hebrew word is actually a pastor. He said, more. So that the text you actually read, let no pastor put us under. Only identity in the fire from pastor. Lugubaga. You know the meaning. When we are telling you, look at it well, look at it well. Like one brother that came to church and said, not that church. He said, if they actually know, the guy ran away, he would go and live in an hotel. He was living different like a vagabond. So you're trying to find out. And the woman was always coming around and saying, that the husband is not treating her well. That imagine that he's not even coming close to her. That how can we be in marriage and in 3, 4, 5, 6 months, my husband has not even touched me. She has not even come close to me. Oh, help me talk to the husband. So in our minds, we felt that the husband was a terrible guy that needed a lot of scolding. Until we discovered that, the man was actually running away for his life. The woman was beating him. Why is it funny? You think there are no sisters here that can beat? If you tell me no, I know is a lie. I'm a pastor here. I've seen the tendencies. In some sisters, by the time they lock the brother down, what is the issue? And they are shaking the brother like this. You know, your hand will be touching the sofa. And the brother is like, happens as we are teaching the word of God. So that's the reason why the brother was actually living in hotel, living with his friend. Today he'll live with friend this, tomorrow he'll live with friend this, the following day, that same time of the next week, he will come back to this. So you are wondering, how will Lost from learning? You know that. We have to get to the root of the matter. By the time we now go to the root of the matter, we discover that it was not even something we can undo. We could have handled it if the issue was with the brother. But the issue was with the woman. And the woman, if she sees you, she can kneel down 22 times in 1 second. She can kneel down. In 5 seconds. They had to carry justice for the brother. You know, something like that. I didn't even know how they called me. Later, I had to just. So I was saying that to say that the same thing goes for the brothers as well. He said, "Why do you like that sister?" He says, I like her. Shush. She is what? Pastor. Say it now. Pastor. You are my fear, right? You know, there are two ways to bring ministry out of someone. You can bring ministry out of someone where the person is expressing it more. You can also bring ministry out where the person has lost it. Now you call your ministry like you. Are we together? So being the head of the home
I have seen these things. It's a privilege.
And, well, interestingly, when the home... Don't worry, we're going to teach you about relationship, family life. I want to have some authority before I teach it.
When the home is properly handled, you also observe that the woman is actually the owner of what? Of the home. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? The man is the owner of the home. The man is the what? He's the head. Because look at this. The man being the head now hands over the home to who? To who? To the woman. So the woman runs the affairs of the home. That is why when you see a brother that is properly married, you can't just call him and say, I'm coming. Are we together? I'm coming to your house. No. Well, it's expected that he has married right, though. Some brother is the wife that is talking. Well, you think he's the one that is talking. Well, if you have very good listening ears, you know that, his sister so that is talking through the mouth of brother so. The brother is under her feet. She has dominion. Yes. A woman should not be like that. A woman should be submissive. Her power is in her submission. Her power is in her submission. And the world and the environment cannot change that. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. For example, in a church like this, you know, the woman should be given the space in the home. I'm deliberately talking about the woman should be what? Given the home space. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? The woman should be given. Your wife can say that so sister should never step into her home again, and you will be immediately. Not because she has so much authority, but because you want to protect your home as a man. A wise man listens to his wife, and a wise woman submits to the leadership of what? Of her husband. Are you with me? So there are privileges that you must know how to be faithful. A wise man listens to his wife. Obviously, as a rule, if your wife ever complains about you in church, if you're a leader, we send you out of office. Your wife is complaining about you. If you're a pastor, immediately you stop pastoring. Especially when your wife is now complaining about you, about another woman. Get it by. Because, let me tell you something, some of you don't know, women have eyes for those things.
Look at the way Brother John is looking at me there.
Is this false revelation? See, a sister will know when another sister is eyeing you. They know. Oh! They know very well. So if someone is your wife, you that I know brothers sometimes can be, brothers can be so very holy and gentle and trying to be, and then the brother is, your wife knows. There are 11 sisters that are coming around saying, hi, how are you, and this and this. A sister might even be very close to you, and it's the other one that is not so close to you that your wife knows. They have, I don't know how God did that thing for them. They can see into the spirit. You don't know that. So when your wife is complaining about you, obviously we have to have looked at that woman and say that this one is not a nagging type. And someone that is suspicious and full of trust issues. No. For someone who is full of the spirit,
is pointing you to. If your wife, for example, is telling you to be careful of so woman, the next thing to do as a man is to immediately you stop picking her calls. Immediately you start responding to her. Anytime she has something to tell you, you give your wife the phone. That's a smart man. Some brothers will be like, I'm a man, I can handle it. But you are handled. Don't be stupid. Be wise. Praise God. So, being the husband in the home, the head of the home, you know, it means that anytime, let's say we want to interact. Now, obviously, if you're in the church, that's why I usually counsel people to get married within the church. To get married within the church. It does, see, it's a whole lot of benefits to get married within the church. It's a whole lot of benefits. Or even when you now have two people who are not married or somebody did not marry from a church. See, the moment you are married, both of you must find your way to one of the churches. Don't be foolish. It is foolishness to not do that. Remember, I was having this conversation with some of my friends. They said, no. I said, everything is about just until... I was just laughing. I almost laughed my intestines out. I didn't know how our conversation got to that point with Baba Oboyinka. The moment he pounced on the issue, hey! He did the work more than I was just. So I was sitting like the wise man. I said, ah, we didn't have anything yesterday. Everybody's eyes were red because they were all pretty. I sat down together like this. At that moment, I didn't write again. Write it. They couldn't write, I couldn't write, but the purpose of not writing was different. I just crossed my legs. When the wise man is talking. Pastor spoke about that for about one or two. He was dealing with about 90 general overseers. General overseer of ministries from UK. We were all together in that meeting. From UK, from US, from Japan. We all came for that meeting. All across Nigeria. So he needed to deal, because these are issues pastors are dealing with their churches. There's nothing I said that pastor did not say. And there was nothing he said I didn't say. He only had more reason. I said, are we together? That's just common. That's just what's expected. That's just what's expected. In the same assembly, it does a lot. Well, it doesn't mean that if you are getting married to a sister outside a particular church, you are insane. No. Or if you are getting married to a brother outside a particular church, you are insane. Completely no. There's nothing, there's no such thing there. But look at this. The moment you have decided that you are going ahead with the marriage, also know that the two of you are leaving and going to one of the churches. So he said, as you are going to leave and go to that church, or the person is going to leave and come to your church, if care is not taken, I will be the one to push you out. It's my work as a pastor. Wait for some things to happen. I'll be the one. Because one of the things I've committed to do is that I am going to pastor without bias. I'm going to pass over that bias. I'm going to pass over that. I'm going to be the one to tell you, hey, it's time. Why are you still in my church? I'm not going to send you away as a listener, but I'm going to say, why are you still here? Is it because you have a responsibility? Okay, we can relieve you of the responsibility, but you cannot continue like this. You can't continue. But it's going to cause trouble in your home. You know, some of us word men, we think we know too much of God's word.
It's going to cause trouble in your home. That's what I was dealing with. My sister said, no, that this, this. I know my friends are very worded. Sometimes they are so worded that when they are talking, even me, I'll be like, do you understand this? Because sometimes I use their scripts to mark my scripts also. Because of the level of followership we all go share. And then am I right? This guy might be right. I think I'm wrong. But on that area, I knew that. So as they were talking, their voice was really overpowering my own when we were together. I said, hello. Am I worried? I have no problem with you. Am I worried? I was so glad when Pastor was. I didn't know how the conversation went. Baba just drove the car, and landed on the car park. And then, yes! In my head, like, yes! Please, nobody should ask any question. Nobody should ask any other question. Nobody should ask it. So when Pastor is done talking, and then, you know, he just stops talking, and then he says, any other question? Nobody should ask it. He will just say, and that's why, hey, bless Father. Church with it detailedly. I said, that's just common sense. Sometimes we want to retain people in our ministry at the detriment of their homes and mental health. No! So that's why you just have to be full of God's vision. So if you are so convinced that you are led of God, that you are with us as a church, and you are pastoring with us, and you are going to walk with us to fill the earth with God's word, as a pastor, as a leader, as a team member of our church for the next many decades that you can't even count, then it will already give direction. So I didn't expect that, Pastor. I have 92 people on my list as brothers. You like 92 people? Someone come and say, I have 3 people. You like 3 people? You like 5 people? I think she has just said 5 people like me. You like 5 people? Hey, sister, you like 5 people? You like 5 people? You like five men, 5 brothers, a sister of God, sorry, a child of God, that is a daughter of God. What? You like 5 brothers. Hey, I like brother so and so. Why? He's tall and dark. And when he speaks, his voice just calms me down. How many times has it calmed you? They say, I like the other brother. Pastor, he has money. Why not go for the tall and dark? He doesn't have money. Then why not go for this? What is wrong with this brother that has money? He says, sir, I don't like the shape of his face. When he goes to bath, his hair stylist does not know which shape to give him. What about the other brother that has some? He's not as wealthy as this brother, but he's not dark, but tall. He's not fair either. I don't know. But he's not dark and tall. He doesn't have another money, but he's comfortable. He says, sir, he does like a sister. And I don't want to marry another sister. So what do you like about him? I don't know. When he sings, So Pastor, which one of the 5? Then I just sit up with the most serious face I can ever form. Holy Spirit of God, you promise us to feed us and to always guide us. Oh, thank you, Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, go. Sagungaga. Actually, hear my daughter. Defy, see the Lord.
The five, hear the Lord. The five. For the first one will bring down Goliath, hear the Lord. The first. And the second shall be the prophet. Oh. For he shall lead you unto thy promised land. Oh, the third, hear the Lord. The third is Jehovah Jireh. Like five brothers. Or the brother also that like five sisters. Are we together? Like five sisters. Say, Pastor, which one? Allergy. Maybe you want to be an allergy. Allergy in Christ. Marry the five. Are we together, church? So, look at this. Being the head in the womb, or whatever privileged position you have, is a call to be what? To be faithful. It's a call to be what? To be faithful. It's a call to be faithful. So we say that faithfulness is the breath of the Christian minister. Of the Christian ministry. Faithful with associations. Is it clear, church? Faithful. Faithful. A father over children. You're faithful. Faithfulness is, why does God give children? And I'm going to raise these ones to fulfill such purpose. Look at this. Faithfulness is, why did God institute marriage? I feel like I'm going to talk about that sometimes this year. Not marriage itself, but relationships per se. I mean associations with men generally. Men and women. Men with men, women with women, men with women. Old with young, young with old, and all that. Just human relationships generally. I feel like I'm going to talk about it in about maybe 2-3 months time. Praise God. Why did God institute marriage? Then you drive your home to fulfill that what? That purpose. Is it clear, church? Faithfulness means to stick with it. Obviously, if you are not ready to stick with a woman, don't marry the woman. Don't marry the man. If you are not planning to be faithful to a lady, don't engage such person. Is it clear? Don't engage such man. Engage means, don't say things like, oh, I love you, I want us to be, I don't know how to say it again. There are different ways to say it. If you need me to teach you, teach you. I can teach you. Oh, I should have said that. I can. I know some of us brothers talk at it. You go to a sister and say, God told you what? If I were a sister, oh God, I'll trouble many men on this earth. Especially Christian brothers. I'll give you some better time. It is God told you, I'll tell you, what else has God spoken to you about recently? I mean, that's my question. You come to me and you say, God told you what? Okay, what else has God ever spoken to you in your life? Then he says, God told me this. He says, I can ask you. I says, okay, if God told you that I'm going to be your wife, what did God tell you that I'm going to be doing in your life? I'm not giving sisters lines to reject a brother. What has God told you that I'll be doing? He says, you'll be the mother of my children. God told you that? Do you need God to tell you? You need God to tell you. Oh, you mean it's possible I'm your wife, someone else is the mother of your children before? God had not told you. Wait, if God had not told you, do you think I'll be the one packing your shoes beside you everywhere, every time you're going? I'll be your phylactery. Or I'll be here holding the hem, the skirt of your garment, and following you to work every day. No. Are we together? If you are not going to be faithful, you don't strike such conversations. Are we together? That's faithfulness. If you are not going to be faithful, you don't strike such conversations. It means to stick with. Someone say, sir, I don't think I'm interested again. I was interested last year, but I'm not interested again. If you're right, no problem. No one is going to force you. But in the next 6 years, how many months were you together? 6 months, every month for a year. 1 month per year. If I hear coming, they call me. In the next 6 years, we're going to castrate you. Yeah. We're going to castrate you. We'll send you to Russia as a Catholic priest. We call her. You are not saved. Praise God. Same also goes with the woman. We are not going to be faithful. You don't engage. You have money. No, that's not faithfulness. You are faithful to money, not people. You're not faithful to money. And the truth is that someone who doesn't have money today might have all the money tomorrow. I hope you know that. So sisters, well, someone says, don't choose a life partner because of money. It's a lie. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? You're not thinking. Are you with me? Also consider money. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Also consider what? Also consider what? Also consider what? I know some of you are hypocritically quiet. Also consider what? I'm not putting brothers under pressure, but also consider what? Should I say the other one, or I should keep quiet? The brother should also consider money too. Is it clear? Is it clear? Brother should also consider. Oh, that was shocking you. Brother should consider money too. Look at somebody's face. They say, what? Yeah, because marriage is not an escape from material lack. Part of considering money, is it clear? Part of considering money, look at me everybody, is to find out what investment is the person making in himself that will make tomorrow fine financially. The other person, the other brother, does not make any financial investment into his life. I'm not even saying his account is bulky or not. I'm saying there is nothing he is investing in his life. He's just praying in tongues. The other fellow is praying in tongues and is making moves. Maybe getting certifications or trying to build a business. He doesn't yet have all the money. He doesn't maybe even have much money at all. But you can look at him. You look at his mind. You see the way he handles relationships. You can tell. And this fellow is building relationship capital, which will become finance capital later on. So you look at him. So that's why I tell you must also consider what? Money. So you look at the woman too. She might not have money, but what investment is she making in herself that will make her or make your tomorrow better, the two of you? When it comes to finances. Did you get what I'm saying? That's it. You have to look at that. You have to look at that. You
to look at that. So, but let me get back to what I was saying. Such relationships, I deliberately majored on the home front relationships, husband, wife, parents to children, children to parents. Now I mentioned siblings, right? Which one have I found? Husband to be, wife to be, right? Right? Romantic relationships, right? See, they are all privileges, opportunities to demonstrate faithfulness. Is it clear? Is it clear? So let me begin to round it up. I had to make a mention of all that because that's the area I've not really dealt with so far. So, I mentioned on accountability last time. And I said accountability is to recognize that I am a man under what? Under what? Authority. Are we together? Are we together? I am a man under what? Authority. Is it clear? Is it clear? I am a man under what? Authority. Give me your Bible. Roll me your Bible. Now this is a sharp edge, right? This is a sharp edge, right? What does she do? What does she did? She jacked. Now she knew I wasn't going to stab her a pen. But if someone, a stranger, walks up to you and does like this, you do like this, right? Right? Why did you do this way? Now, if you had not seen the fellow, was it likely you would jack back if you had not seen the fellow? So, you saw the fellow, right? Now, that adjustment of your position is in whose interest? Of your whole body, right? To not be what? Harm. So, you saw. Now, you interpreted what happened, right? Then, maybe if you're a scientist here, you know that your brain must have instructed your what? Your spine, isn't it? To make that motion, right? So you are able to escape. Or let's say you saw a car driving by the road, I'm swerving, moving close to you. What do? You jump to the pavement or on the gutters. Why? That is your biology telling you, hey, get away from danger. Get away from danger. Now, your biology tells you that because it's able to spot, to interpret, and to instruct. See, all of what happened were a series of accountability. It was by a series of accountability. So my eyes tells my brain what I can see is not fine for us. Then the brain instructs the spine. If there was to be a disconnection in that channel, in that sequence, you are gone. So, that is your biology telling you that survivor, increase, progress, name it whatsoever, is by a set of accountability structure worked into you naturally. A body is like that. A church is also like that. Robbers came and then they tried to access the bank or the banking hall. Or let's say, armed robbers are now in the banking hall. In the banking hall. Now, there's a security officer who is outside who wants to enter the banking hall. And then, just before he goes to the door, he sees what is inside. He observes that, oh, the banking hall is being robbed. So, he goes back and he stands behind. And then he doesn't do anything. Or, you know, he doesn't do anything. And then they rob the bank and then probably injure people's lives and then leaves. Are we together? He has not functioned properly. He was supposed to alert people. Now that is accountability also. To report the affairs under your influence. To report the state of affairs. Now when such report is missing or delayed, something can be lost or hurt. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, there was a time in our church that a good set of people, who were working closely with me, actually left the church. They left the church. About 6-7 of them, they left the church. Now, there were a number of things like that that probably had happened and all of that. Obviously, none of it was the fault of mine. Gone over it over and over and over and over. I have no single doing in it. But they left the church. But in as much as there were one or two other things that had probably contributed themselves as factors, one major factor that led to them leaving the church was a non-accountability of some others who had observed such tendencies. They were not accountable to me. Now, look at this. The more painful part of it for me wasn't that they left the church. The more painful part is that none of them is currently in the ministry. None is in the ministry. None of them. The closest of them to the ministry is trying to get my attention week in, week out. Because it is so clear to the fellow that I have arrived at the land of struggle when it comes to ministry. That's the more painful part. That the fellows are actually not in the ministry. Not in the mission, not committed to a church, not serious, no disciples, nothing serious is happening. And I've gone through the journey in my mind over and over and over. What could have prevented this? See, in life, let me give you this wisdom. Really, they're a leader. When something happens, don't sulk. Don't start nursing your wounds and start panicking and blaming yourself and crying and all that. You can do that for a short period, but after a while, you must start asking yourself, what could have been done to prevent this? I've gone over that over and over, and I discovered that the major thing that led to all of that was that the fellows who were so close to the people did not do or say anything. So we suffered no accountability. So look at it. If I come to you and I'm talking about accountability and I'm discussing, we are coming from somewhere. Personally, I'm coming from somewhere when it comes to my ministerial journey. Secondly, your church is coming from somewhere. I have seen the first hand. See, personally, I have seen the first hand repercussion, consequence of not being accountable, including the loss of a life of 1, 2, 3, 4 dear ministers of the gospel who were pioneering pastors. Do you know what it means for a pioneering pastor to die? I mean, a pastor who is over a congregation. I'm not saying he's pastoring under someone. I said the church, he was the one that went to plant the ministry. And he died. And I, that I'm standing in front of you, I buried them. I was there. I ran errands. I sent money. I was there. I carried the casket. Yet, it was accountability issue. So clear. No two things. If I am going to be responsible for someone under me pastoring somewhere, I better be sure I don't send the fellow out if he has not mastered accountability. Until then, sit down there. I'll over cover. Sit down there. You see that? Sit down there. I'll over cover. You are not accountable while you are physically there under my watch. I can see you, I can interact with you, I can talk to you. You think that you will be accountable when you are hundreds of kilometers away, where I and you naturally understand there is no reason for us to see every month.
maybe even every year because of your distance. You better be going there for something else, maybe career, another. But if it's to go there for the sake of a ministry, oh, mention there. Sit down. Because at that point, your welfare, your responsibility, your everything is on my shoulders. No, you cannot go. You don't have the pass. You can't enter into such compound. You can't be permitted into such community. Stay where you are. Your level of accountability will determine how higher you go in having influence or more privileges over others. You get what I'm saying? How high you go in having privilege, influence, or authority over the lives of other people. And let me say this very much boldly. A pastor, look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Your pastor has authority over your life. Your pastor is given a privilege of having authority over your lives. If he does not have authority over your life, Jesus will not hold him accountable for your soul on the day of judgment. God will not require your life from him. He won't require your life from him. God was going to require the estate of Israel from the hand of Joshua. He had told him to lead them to his inheritance or their inheritance, and so he has told them to follow him. He told Israel to follow him. God told Israel to follow Moses. He has given him the privilege of influence, a privilege of authority, a privilege of leadership over such lives. Are we together? Accountability means I will report their fears, the state of affairs of all that has been given under my influence. Some of you, the way you are going to learn accountability in your natural lives is by what you are learning in the church. And when you fail at it, you observe, why am I not going further in my natural life? Accountability. Accountability is that you have been put at a post and you report the affairs, the state of the affairs of what is under you. They report it. Starting from who? Look at me, everyone. Starting from yourself. Starting from yourself. Report the state of the affairs. Report it! Report the state of your affairs. Report your health. Report your finances. Report your what? Your what? Your finances. Report your friendship and associations. Report it. If you go and slap somebody, report it. It's even better that you reported it. If we find out, it might cost you your current what? Sphere of influence. Because not only have you made a mistake, you have sought to cover it. And sometimes, the moment we are dealing with it, we now also find out that, brother so-and-so knows. Oh, sister so-and-so also knows. We will now try to observe their activity around the event. We observe it. The moment they are found private to it, and there was no mention by them, then we can also strip them of the current influence that they have. They are not good influences around you. If they could not inspire you to not do that wrong thing, they should have been able to inspire you to be accountable.
when they observe that the leader could inspire you to do the right thing and they couldn't inspire you to be accountable, if they had tried to, it shows that the issue is no more their issue. The issue is your rebellion. It's a rebellion. Or, at best, there's a conniving. For what reason? Are you more interested in maintaining what you have or your friendships than you are interested of the church reaching its common goal? If you are more interested than being in each other's good book, than you are interested in the church reaching its common goal, its pursuit of God's plan, then the two of you are not fit to be leaders over lives. Then whatsoever we have counted that must not spoil, whatever we have judged as something that must not be destroyed, you are not worthy of it being in your influence. You are not worthy of it being in your church. It's as simple as that. Accountability. Report your affairs. Report your affairs. Report your affairs. Report your affairs. The first thing to do is to try to do the right thing at all times. When you have erred, report yourself. 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 Report other people too. If you observe that you are not able to get them to report themselves, what's the difference between that and gossiping? There's a difference between godly accountability and what? Gossiping. The very first thing is that when it comes to godly accountability, the common goal of the group is the focus. Are we together? When it comes to gossiping, you being in the good book is the focus. You want to be in the good book of the people in charge. So you go to gossip on other people. That is not allowed. But when it comes to godly reporting, a godly reporting definitely will prevent calamitous consequences and endpoints. A godly reporting is that what is in your heart is that the goal of the team is not ruined. Ezekiel Church. The goal of the team. So it will even go in the way you report it. We will see it in the way you report it. In your reporting, we will observe that there are no accusations. Are we together? There will rather be a proper, a healthy painting of the picture of what happened. This is what happened. Sometimes, even when you have a fault in what happens, you will also what? Narrate it. Did you observe that is what we are reading in the books of Moses? That Moses, in talking about the error of Israel, mentioned his own error too, when he struck the rock instead of speaking. So that later on, if you are now reading Joshua, that it was Joshua that took them to the promised land, you will be wondering, where is Moses? Moses made this, I fumbled though. That was why I couldn't leave them there. So in godly reporting, are you with me? You are not doing it to be in a good book. You are putting the affairs of the team forward. Are you listening to me? Secondly, in godly reporting, when you observe that you are not responsible, you don't really have a role, a path in the outcome as such, then the very first thing you will do is this. You are not too quick to come and tell it first. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Why am I explaining all this in detail? I am explaining codes of conduct. Yeah. So you are not too quick to come and tell it first. You know what you do? You will let the person know to report themselves. So when is it then becoming late for me to mention it? At what point is it too early? At what point is it becoming late? It depends on what happens. In fact, within 24 hours of what had happened, you expect that fellow to have reported themselves. The moment the fellow is not reporting self in 24 hours, it becomes your task to mention it to the fellow. To mention it to the fellow. Have you informed this? Have you told this person? Have you told this person? Then you will know whether you are dealing with a good heart or a wrong heart. At that moment, the moment you observe the fellow is not reporting, it becomes your duty to do what? To report the issue. To report the issue. To report the issue. It becomes your duty to mention it. And look at this. In mentioning it, look at me. I don't mention it to somebody who does not have a skin in the game. That again is gossip. What does it mean to have skin or to not have a skin in the game? Somebody, look at me, everybody, look at me. Anybody that usually has nothing to lose when something goes bad is never a go-to person to fix the issue. Somebody who has nothing to lose when something goes bad is usually a what? Is not a go-to person to fix issues. So in fixing issues, I will go to the person who has a skin in the game. Somebody who will be affected when things go bad. Is it clear? And is in the position of doing what? Setting things what? Alright. I go to that person. Because in your bid to report what has happened, you might report it to somebody else who wants things to go worse. Prevent that. Somebody who has a skin in the game will not want something to go worse. Because when that thing goes bad or worse, he is losing out. He's losing his investment. It could be spiritual investment, it could be material, it could be money, it could be emotional, whatever. Are we together? So you take it to the fellow who has a skin in the game. Do I take it to him just because he has a skin in the game? No! He has a skin in the game. Don't forget this clause. And he has the what? The power, the privilege to set it what? Right. Some young people are very foolish. Well, some elderly people are also very foolish. I've seen some elderly ones address some issues or handle issues. And like, how will you handle issues this way? Why do you go to talk to this person? Why? Why? You already know this person is antagonist of this person. Yet you go to him. Why? Is it dullardness or insensitivity or wickedness? Are you listening to me? That's accountability. Report yourself. Inspire others to report themselves within a short time frame, depending on the event. A wife in the home must tell the husband, make sure you mention this to pastor before night, or I will tell him in the morning. Is it clear? I didn't say mention this to your parents. Your parents. Some couples do very foolish things. When they have issues, they will take themselves to go and meet their parents. When husband and wife is having issues and they come to the wife's parents, who do you think the parents will support? Who will they support? Who will they support? It's about the wife now. I know some parents that will support the husband. It's very rare. And most of them also, after supporting the husband, it's not really in their heart. It's not in their heart. Or when you take the grand, husband and wife, go and meet your parents of the husband, who will they support? Then it causes issues for your home. You go to someone who has a skin in the game. Who has a skin in the game. That's why you have pastors. That's why you have leaders. Don't have issues in your marriage. And then you go to an unmarried friend. You have a friend who is not married, maybe a colleague at work who is not married. Interestingly, how you will now see a woman that is possessed by a demon is that The unmarried person she is complaining to at the place of work about her issue about her marriage is also a man that is not married, or even a man that is married. You are just a daft and a stupid person. Or you see the man, a brother, you have issues in your home, then you go to a colleague who is a lady. Who is a because you have seen it in some movies. You have seen it in some movies that the man went to a colleague who is a lady. The colleague was not able to give him advice that now help him to build his home. You think life is a movie? You are just a foolish person. You take it, give it to somebody that has his skin in the world. Who is that personality that is building this home along with us? The same thing with job. The same thing with your work. The same thing with that's how to handle things generally. Except you observe that, this particular person is compromised, then who is the next person that has similar status? Are you with me? Are you with me? Am I teaching you tonight? So look at this. You have those privileges. Faithfulness is to report the state of affairs of what is in your hands. What is in your hands? A cell or a cell member's health. Report it. Report it. Report it. I told you to help somebody to join, to help somebody in the city to be at the service. Help that fellow to locate church and take responsibility for his or her presence in the church. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the person is not around, then you mention nothing about the person. Oh, Beverly, I'm talking to you. Then you mention nothing about the fellow. Nothing about the fellow. There is no day, no week. I will remember. I'll be quiet. And like that, report the state of the affairs of what has been put in your hands. You know, you don't have to report the figure of your end of the week balance of your business that your manager gave you to your pastor. You know, you don't have to report it to your manager. So I'm teaching accountability on all sides. Accountable. You must be accountable to your employer. I can talk about accountability in ministry. I can also talk about accountability generally. And bring both. Report it. Report it. Report it. When we are given, people are given in church, for example, and then for one reason or the other, you were not able to give. For example, a giving that is statutory. You are not able to give. Report it. Sometimes you don't know how far being accountable goes in changing things for you. The work of a pastor is such that he is inside your life. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Look at it. The pattern of pastoring that Jesus has shown us is a shepherd who is inside the life of a sheep. Inside. That is why we must begin to determine the kind of ministry we want to have. Do we want to have a ministry where clouds are everywhere and there is no single reasonable or sane touch or impact on people's lives? Or we want to trust God that every one grass on the field is fully impacted? If the former is our goal, then we better even reduce the number of our meetings and start doing all sorts of things so that we can be filled. Everybody says, but we must be ready to have goats more than the sheep. We must be ready to have men sleeping around in the church with the sisters. We must be ready to have women womanizing in the church with the brothers. We must be ready for sisters in the church to bring influential people into the church by sleeping with them in the world. We must be ready to have people come into the church and paying our bills and thinking of all sorts of things, even if they stole the money from public funds. We must be ready to let down all of our guards just to have that increase, that kind of increase we want. But if the latter is what we are looking for, then we must trust God to make every man a Christian leader. Because then you will be able to repeat what we are doing with more people that we are not able to reach for the sake of increasing numbers. Because the numbers will definitely increase. Do you get what I am saying? We must trust God to raise and train and have a personal and a focused touch on every single one man. That might look slow. Are we together? But it will be what? Permanent. It will get the job done. It might look slow, but it will get the job done. It will ensure that we are not falling backwards due to failure. It will ensure we get the fruits. Ezekiel Church. Like I told you last week, the former one might be 1,000, but they are a 1,000 of what Jesus does not want. The latter one might just be 50, but they are the 50 of what Jesus wants. So when there is increase in the former one, Jesus is concerned, bothered. His heart is sorrowful that there is increase in this church. But when there is an increase of the other one, he is rejoicing. And it's at peace that his work is done. So which kind of assembly do we want to be? Because the numbers will always come for the mold that we choose. Faithfulness. So accountability is to report the state of affairs. Report it! I told you, the things that have the capacity to affect the ministry positively, when it happens to you, report it. What about things that have the capacity to affect my ministry negatively? Now I said the ministry, then I said my ministry. I expect that you will know that whatsoever affects you, your ministry, affects the ministry at large. So whatever has the capacity to affect you negatively, report it. Report it. Report it. Report it. That is accountability. Accountability is the first state or reflection or the first state you will get to when you are already getting better at faithfulness. Are we together? Someone spoke about accountability. Someone said, if a blind person gives you granuts to do what? If somebody gives you granuts to peel, you know, roasted granuts, they want you to peel it. You know what I'm talking about? This is accountability. If a blind person give you a roasted granite to peel, make sure you don't what? Don't stop talking. Because when you stop talking, you might think that you are eating it. So accountability, and listen to me carefully. Look at me now. Accountability is not for God. Is not for God. Accountability is for the man under whose influence or work you are, or saying you are. Is not for God. God will not promote you in a ministry. He has told the pastor to prove the office of what? Of the bishop. Because of the deacon. Because God will not do that. What God can do is to speak by revelation to the pastor to see that you are fit for something. But God will never put you into that thing. He will not. He will not undo or conflict a structure that he has given. He will use the man of God. So being accountable is because of your work with God, but it is not because of God. Or it is not to God rather. Being accountable, let me say differently, is because of God. The cause is always the Lord. You are working with him, you are working for him, you are doing his work, you are working in his vineyard. So being accountable is because of God, but you are not being accountable to God by reporting what you are doing. Now let me say it different. There is another accountability that goes to God. I will explain that some other time. But the accountability that goes to God is this way. Listen to this. This is the accountability that is done to God. The accountability that is done to God is your motive. In the sense that if the Lord truly can see me, what will I do? That is being accountable because of him. It goes into what you do privately. But I'm saying, when a man puts something under your affairs, are we together? Your accountability in that area is not because or to God. Your accountability is to who? That man. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there's nothing, like I was saying yesterday, I didn't mention something, was it yesterday or yesterday, on Thursday. I mentioned, for example, that when it comes to your faith, I said, God knows you are a champion. Right? I said, God also what? Believes it. I now said, God believes that you are a champion even more than you do. Then why then do I need to speak about the situation? It is because you are not what? Talking to God or speaking to God. You are speaking through the situation. So you must draw the line. You must draw the line. The fact that God knows you are a champion does not invalidate your need to use your word. Because your word is not affecting God. Your word is to affect the situation. So in the same way, when it comes to reporting, when it comes to being accountable, reporting the affairs of what is under your influence, you are not doing it to God. You are doing it to God because he watches you and is the master rewarder. Are we together? But you are not doing it to God as far as God sees me, I don't need to tell this person. No, it is called Ashidanu. You report what you are told to do. That's why he said, it is by recognizing that you are a man under what? Authority. If you are a man under authority, report it. Report the state of affairs. So I asked the question, I said, how much should I report? Everything. I even find out a very funny question, because I'm closing there. I'll continue on faithfulness later in the week when I find out that we have gone over our notes on this one. Are we there? Are we together? How much should I be accountable? How much? Everything. Sometimes things might skip you. The moment you remember, you drop it. Accountability is what makes us to trust you. Even if God trusts you, we don't trust you yet. Is it clear? I think I've told you this before. How did I say it? I told you something before. I said, there are some things you do, right? When you're alone with God, isn't it? And I said, the moment men are involved, it calls for a completely different word, approach. I told you that before. That is in your work with God. But the moment other men are involved in that thing that you are doing for God, it immediately calls for a different word, approach. So there is always a way to approach something that is different when other men are involved. Is it clear? And you can't know until we teach you. So, accountability is how we are going to trust you. You might say, God, trust you. If you like, let demons too trust you. Amen? How we are going to trust you is by what? Your being what? Accountability. Let me follow you one more. For everything I'm saying is money is in my head. I'm not even looking at my notes at all. Are we together? My notes today starts from 1 Samuel. What we are saying last week is how often, how much. So I've been talking about my head since morning. Are we together? So look at it. Let me borrow you one more thing. And it's the fact that, again, when it comes to accountability, are you listening to me? When it comes to accountability, I already said before, I repeat it, that the moment other people are involved, the way you are doing that thing to God or for God completely changes. It completely changes. So I said again, before I say what I'm saying, I said again that accountability is how we come towards trust you. You can say, oh, God, trust me. If you like, say, demons to trust me. You can say, oh, angels, trust me. Accountability is how we, other men, are going to trust you. Now, look at me. Look at me, everybody. In our worship of God, God also looks out for how we treat men as we are trying to worship Him. Look at me very clearly. The way you treat men while you are trying to worship God can make God to reject what you are trying to do. Go and ask religions like Islam that they call the worship of God ruining the lives of the unbelieving people. Conquest. Islamic conquest. And all of that. So in a bit of worship, God said to Moses, don't ever call this sacrifice to me when human life is involved. You shall not be like Ashtaroth. He mentioned those gods of the Philistines who will call you to offer your firstborn or your first daughter or your first son. No. Animal. And in fact, this one, not this one. And I told you sometimes last year or last 2 years that in the instructions, even though God permitted man's tradition, God permitted it in a way that He helped man to see that He values man. So in God's permissive graciousness, or what God permits amongst men, God yet teaches the theology of value for relationships. So in my worship of God, the way I handle men when I'm trying to do something for God, are you with me? Can you see the reason why God in the flesh called a man a good neighbor and a bad neighbor? He says, even though this man was going to worship him, a priest, he came across that victim, Abby, that the robber had messed up, invalidated. He came across and said, I can't wait. I am going to what? Perform a priestly function. Then Jesus knocked him out. Then he said, somebody else, interestingly, the Good Samaritan was the only person in that pairing who was not a Jew. Yet the fellow that was wounded was a Jew. The other people who passed by were all Jews. Are we together? Jesus is saying the person who has acted as a brother, the person who has acted as a help, is the one that treated you well. Not the church member. Not the church member. So the way I handle men while I'm worshiping God can go a long way as to God accepting or refuting what I have done. Is that clear, church? Accountability is, I will trust you. So I'm closing here. Someone says, how much report everything. Sometimes what you report might go off from you. The moment you remember, you drop it, because that is what shows us we are on the same team. Some of us don't know how to walk with our pastor, yet we claim to know how to walk with God, as though your walk with God is different from your walk with your pastor when he's a genuine man of God. Your walk is not different. Your walk with God is not different from the way you walk with your pastor. If your pastor is a shepherd, not someone looking for money or looking for something from you. Your walk with God. Are we together? How much do I report? So someone gives you, what's it called? A blind man gives you granules, right? To peel. As you are peeling it, you don't stop what? You don't stop talking. You don't stop talking. Why are you talking? Why are you talking? Okay. Are you deliberately trying to show him your anointing? Yes. You want to show him your anointing. No, God sees me. God sees me, I'm not eating it. If you like, let him think I'm eating it. Before you know, you'll just be tempted to eat it. The next thing you say is, I just ate small. I just ate little. What I ate was not even up to 1/10 of what I did for him. After all, I'm also entitled to some granules if I've done all the labor. Little by little, you start saying that, is it bad if I ate half? He couldn't peel it now. Is it bad if I ate half? Then later you just see yourself. The moment he gave you the bag of granules with the baby, you carry the whole bag. That's what happens to those who change the name of ministries, of the branches they are told to go and pastor. They started stealing influence little by little. Tell the disciple, what are you eating tonight? Cook my own too. My great church branch, Lord. As I start, what are you cooking? How much is your salary? $250,000. 20% of your salary is mine. Exactly. If he's a good disciple, is yes, sir. Do you know what you're already stealing? You're already stealing church branches. You're already stealing church branches. Your church needs something. You said, you do the business now. Can your business help to procure it or to supply it? So, you just put yourself to on the salary. Yeah. How much is it? It's 450. Pastor, it's 550,000. 550,000. Something that is 450K. And that you sold around 480 last week. It's still price is 480. You tell no, your own is 730. See, by 730 in the evening, you will just crumble. Not your business. You're already stealing. It's a privilege. David did what? David built the house of God, the tabernacle for the ark. Then he built his house. There is nothing wrong if, for the sake of a church, you are inconvenienced or you delay a particular thing you enjoy because church is trying to do something.
I've always lived my life like that.
And I always live my life like that. So, how many things do we report? Huh? Everything. Everything. Complete accountability.
I love what a friend of mine would say. He says, be fully accountable and be fully covered.
Be fully accountable and be fully covered. Accountability. Accountability is because we are walking with the Lord. And we are walking for the Lord, rather. We are walking for the Lord. And we are walking with His men. So we are accountable to His men as accountability unto the Lord. You know, that's also different from eye service. You must ensure it is not eye service. Because when it's eye service, then you have faulted on accountability to the Lord. Don't do anything so that you can also start handling mic in our church. No. When you join church, did we promise you? Did we sign the contract? Stabisola, did we sign the contract? Eh? That in 6 months you start handling mic. Did we sign the contract? Eh? That in 1 year? Eh? That in 2 years? Good. Is it clear? How many things do I report? Everything. The next question I answered is, how soon? As soon as it occurs to you. As soon as what? It occurs to you. For the last 1, 2, 3 years, how long does it take you to report a cell meeting day? Immediately is how many minutes? Sit down. 15 minutes. What about you? 15 minutes. What about you? 10 minutes. What about you? 15 minutes. For the last 2, 3 years. The moment a cell meeting is done, bam! Report it. Is that the same with outages? Huh? Is that the same with meetings? Anytime she has the privilege to stand on my behalf and teach here. Those are the only times she reports corporate services. When she is here and I'm not here. There is no day that she has preached on my behalf on a Sunday or a Thursday that she does not report. And those are the only time reports of corporate services come to me. And the report is within 10 minutes. The training. And it is 10 or 15 minutes because it takes that long to type it. It takes that long to type it. Meetings, cell meetings, the same thing. Outreaches, the same thing. Cell prayer meetings, the same thing. Report it. I told someone, I said, when we tell you to do something, were you the one that saw that you should do it, or you were told to do it, or you were told to do it? When you are doing something as a result of instruction, reporting it is part of the doing it. You have not finished doing it until the report has gone out. Some of you will be sending reports for morning devotion at 2 p.m. Nonsense. Morning devotion, 2 p.m. Immediately. This is somebody. There is no night. At exactly around 11, reports must come in. For the past maybe 9 months, 1 year. That's a time frame. As every year, early in the morning, I'll see it. If I wake up in the morning and I see my email, I know it is Oyeni. I know it. If I just swipe that, it's the one. My phone will just vibrate. My Gmail, I know it's the one. Morning devotion reports.
I know.
Immediately.
It's a training. When you have mastered the training, when you are given something very, what's it called, important to do, and you don't master that training, you are seen like, because, let me say this also, let me just say this to you also, let me say this to you, look at me, there's a thin line, are you looking at me? There's a thin line between not being accountable and being a fraud. A thin line. You have to master accountability. For example, look at this. If I send, this is Brosonde. If I send Brosonde on errand, are you listening to me? I'm closing very soon. If I send Brosonde on errand, I send him on errand. I say, go to Eyenkon. When you get to Eyenkon, when you go to Eyenkon, collect the sum of 5 million there, and then return here. Bring it to me. 5 million there. So Brosonde leaves, and then he gets to what's it called, entrance there, and he waits for Keke. He couldn't get anchoring. He waits for like 20 minutes. Okay, then he takes the next one. I go to the baggage. When he goes to the baggage, he has to sit down in Keke, and then he's waiting for Keke to be filled. Then he goes to a garage. He takes off a garage. He gets off a garage. Then he has to sit down again in another car going to Geyalimi. Then he gets to Geyalimi. The time is already going to 2 hours because of the delays. Then he had to wait again before he got to Yankone. And finally he gets to Yankone after 2 hours, 30 minutes. Then he picks the whatever. He picks the 5 million naira, right? He picks the 5 million naira. And then, as he was about to head back, he just got a very crucial call that has to do with life and death, and I was the only one to attend to it, that he has to be at the promotion. Ah! Life and death. Then he just drops from the bus and then enters the promotion bus and heads to promotion. So he gets to promotion and discovers that, oh, there are patients that have had issues. So just gets busy with the patient. 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Maybe he needed to do surgery. 11, 12, 2 a.m. Brosonde is still doing surgery. 3, he's done with surgery. He had to rest a bit. So he rests till 7. By 7 o'clock, he now takes bus. He's coming back to me in church venue. You and I know that there's a likelihood that as he gets to Bekadim Junction, police might just pick him up. Because within that time, I have estimated that the trip to Eyenkorin is just 2 hours. 2 hours something. And I'm calling him and he's not picking up, or he's ending my call. I probably have called the police. I said, this is the ID card. Let me look for him. Perhaps something has happened to him. But if you meet him that nothing has happened, he is fine, not ruffled. He has this necktie that is there. If his necktie is still doing well, please keep him in that guard room for the next 40 hours till I'm back. Why? Because his journey has made him look like what? A fraud. But imagine that the moment he got here, huh, sir, I can't get the encoring street too. He dropped it on WhatsApp. He got the tipper garage. I'm at tipper garage and I have to wait for some 10-15 minutes. We have moved now. He dropped it on WhatsApp. Then at the encoring, sir, I have collected the funds. I have counted it. It is complete. Is there any other thing, sir? No. Okay, I'm heading back now. Maybe when you go to Geyalimi, you just got to call. Sir, there's trouble. I can't make tanky again. Or what do I do, sir? Maybe I will tell him, can you spare me 10 minutes? The 10 minutes, I will send somebody else to just collect the money from me so he can go. I will say, okay, I don't want to go. That one is more important. You can go. And I will not be moved again until he's back the following day. So not being accountable makes you look like you are a fraud. And I'm teaching you something that goes beyond ministry into your natural works. Especially if you are working for people. I'll station money is with you. Accountability. 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 Is it clear? Is it clear? Not being accountable makes you look like what? Like a fraud. So we can't trust. If next time I have, okay, he's back now. Let him say, I decided to walk in love. So I didn't send any police. Because some of you will be like, why would the pastor send police? Maybe I didn't know him that much. That's simple. But let him say, I know him as I know him now. And I will never use the police to haunt him. But if I have a 50 million to collect next time, will I send him? I will never send him. Did he go on a false mission? No. Did he lie? No. But because he was not accountable, he did nothing wrong. He collected the money. He has brought it back. But because he went on all of, he didn't tell, in fact, maybe even if he had told me, I would not even have sent someone to go and collect. Maybe I'll tell him, go to Ogbomoso with the 5 million. I will collect it when you are back. But because he informed me. But the fact that he did not inform me, and he gave me the experience, maybe before he returned, I've developed blood pressure. And even sometimes, maybe I'm even concerned about his own life too. He said, hey, okay, the next time I have a 30 million naira, whatever to claim, will I send him? I will never send him. Now, it's not likely that when he's back, I will not rebuke him. So I have rebuked him. He will say, rebuke received. I have rebuked him. He has acknowledged the rebuke. But the next 5 million, I will never send him. I will only test if my rebuke has been received as a lesson with maybe 50k. Because I will be stupid to say, because you say, acknowledge, sir, instruction received, then I will now experiment another 5 million. No. I will test him with 10k that maybe I need in 1 week's time, not in 10 minutes. That is accountability. You are working with men. They are accountable. If accountability is faithfulness, he that is faithful over little things will what? Is what? Interestingly, he didn't say we'll be faithful. He actually says he's faithful. And check the text. He didn't say we'll be faithful with much. He says he's faithful with much. He's faithful. So, the question again is how soon? As soon as you sense the need. So it's a thin line between being fraudulent or being seen as what? Fraud. And let me tell you something. Don't put your accountability, don't put your reputation on the line. Don't let the reason for doubting your reputation be because you were not accountable. Don't. 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 There's a thin line between being seen as a fraud and what? And what? And what? Look at this, for example. A ministry. Imagine you have a friend of mine, a ministry, or you have two churches. And then the church pastor A relates with the church pastor B. His relations with church pastor B is clear to all the members of pastor B. All the members of Pastor B knows that our pastor relates with what? Pastor A and his church. Interestingly, that's also same with Pastor A. Pastor A's relationship with Pastor B is clear to the church of Pastor A. So all the members of the church of Pastor A knows that Pastor A relates and esteemly and highly esteems Pastor B. So these are two pastors who highly esteems each other. And their members also know that they relate well. But a very important ethic in ministry is this. your pastor's friend is not your friend. And your pastor's friend is not your pastor. For example, your pastor's friend cannot instruct you as your pastor would. Your pastor's friend is not your pastor. And your pastor's friend is not your friend. He's not your friend. Are we together? Your pastor's friend is not your friend. Sometimes you see members of church that, you know, this person is my pastor's pastor, or my pastor submits to this person, and then on Facebook, you now go and send friend requests to that pastor that your pastor submits to. You are a foolish person. That relationship is not for you. Knowing fully well that my pastor's friend is not my friend preserves all the relationships. It preserves the relationship between you and your pastor. It preserves the relationship between your pastor's pastor and your pastor. It also preserves the relationship you should enjoy between you and your pastor's pastor. But you see some kids in ministry, they don't understand that. Preserves all the relationship. It's common sense to know that my pastor's friend is not my friend. It's not my friend. Are you with me? It's not my friend. That's accountability. Because accountability also means to remain in your place, to stay in the place where we have put you. And not to seek to have more than what we have asked you to have for what we have given to you. You must pursue the kind of increase that we have, that our agreement has said you should pursue. We sent you to go and pastor a branch of the church in a city. You go to that city to pastor. This happened to somebody. Yeah. You go to that city to pastor a branch of the church for your pastor. When you got there, you started joining all the associations of Christians in that city. Ah. You are a hired killer. A con man. He started joining all the associations of Christ. As who? Later on, they now found that, what are you trying to do? Because all the associations he has now joined are none other. By the time they were bringing their requirements and their. See, it didn't take long. The guy left the church. I didn't say he got angry and left. They pulled him out of that church. That church had existed for about 30 years now. Till now, they are not even a member of CAN. Believers of God, Christ Ambassador. Pastor Chris does not. That political body that is calling itself religious. Are we together? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? Yeah, I'm trying to relate with the GOs of different churches so I can have power in the city. Is that the kind of power that we're to have? A political power in the name of Jesus. Stay with your ministry. They called me to come and join them. Is that what we told you to go and do? To be joining a religious bodies in this city. You carelessly expose your water and now it's polluted. You think as a pastor here, if I had joined some religious bodies, we would have the move of the spirit in this church. We will not have it.
And I know what I'm saying, like the back of my, will not happen. Will not happen. They will corrupt a lot of the, they will corrupt your vision. 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 Stay what God has given you. Should we love to interact with the body and embrace the body and do things together? Yes. You must be careful also of what God has given you to not be corrupted. So the best thing to do is to stick with what God has given you and not the kind of increase He wants you to have. Pursue it and trust Him to open the right and the healthy doors in the same corners where it could have been polluted if you push for it yourself. I don't do associations in ministry. By now you all know. I don't do associations in ministry. I don't do Parakwa ministry or Anjoni ministry or Kajola ministry. I don't do it. I don't do it. I face God's call. I believe that He's going to send relationships and associations to me, to us, of other ministries and other men of God that will be able to build God's work together. But not these polluted things you're seeing around, where they start militating against your church because all the voters card that they gave you, you did not use it. Is that one Christian association? Then if they will tell you as a church, you mobilize 1,000 people to vote for the party. If you can hit 1,000 people, you get 60 bags of rice. It is easy to say that we don't need bags of rice, but to not mobilize 1,000, you are an enemy. You don't want to be seen as an enemy. You might not mobilize 1,000. Maybe you mobilize like 500. You mobilize 500 of the saints of God to put a political leader in party. What have you done? Are you really a shepherd? Is that what the members of the church were giving you to do? When you were praying for increase, were you praying for increase of people to use to rig election? Stick to the call. That's why many of them, it's not within their control. Many of them, it's not within their control. It's no more within their control. It's not within their control. They can't help it. Their vision is corrupted. They can no more do what they started out to do. It's not within their control. I'm not saying that they are not decisive enough. I'm not even saying that leaders of ministry are not good again. They have entered into things that have hooked them. It is no more in their control. And they will promise you a growth. And what do they know about growth? What do they know about growth? All that they know about growth is that the size of the chairs, the size of your venue is increasing. That's all they know about growth. They don't know anything else about growth other than there are now more people in your church. To hell with that kind of growth. They don't know anything about growth. They don't know anything about growth. They will promise you that your size is going to increase. And it's true, it is going to increase. But it's not your spiritual capacity that is increasing. Your name will be listed in the seven churches in Revelation. And the worst, the ones that Jesus had the worst to talk about. You think you are clothed, you are wretched. You think you are populated, you are scanty in my kingdom. That's what Jesus will say about you. They will promise you growth. The chairs will increase. You think that the sizes are a function of what the churches are doing? No. The bodies are pumping each other. They will tell you, can we come together 50, let's have 50 choirs. Your church is one of the 50 choirs. So you see that the community is not being evangelized. People are only shifting from one church to another. Christians are the one. It's not evangelism, it's churchgelism. That's what they call it. It's churchgelism. So before you know it, wolves will just enter into your congregation. They start stealing people. Stealing people. And before you know it, you start fighting battles you are not supposed to fight. they will demand that you must give them privileges to preach on your pulpit. I'm not joking. These are experiences I've had. It's a must, because you must open up your church to. So you observe that little by little you cannot maintain a doctrinal position again. How do you maintain doctrinal position? So what teaching ministry to the nations do you think you have?
You have ruined them.
Corrupt your vision. Now you have 600 people in your auditorium that cannot be discipled. Is that one growth? They can't be discipled. You have 1,000 people. Now the church is large, but they cannot be discipled. Then the men and women that God gave the genuine hearts to join you because your vision is poor are frustrated because what their pastor has lost the vision. They leave.
Ministry has changed, has become something else.
Where is the miracle? Where is the ministry of miracle signs and wonders? It's gone. What is your teaching ministry to the world? It's gone. Ministerial consecration, gone. Discipleship structure, gone. Everything. You will just wake up one day and discover that, hey, nothing is left. But the most painful part of it is that you will not know when it is going. You will not know. You will never know that each of them were going out of the door. You will not know. You will just wake up one day and discover that your ministry has become the shadow of what God. Interesting, you will not be able to go back. So you just flow with other churches. So welcome. No influence. No influence. So no. So we send you to go and pastor each other. You now start joining. You start doing join. If you did join for the clothes you are wearing, join. Will it be nice on you? Nonsense. Focus on the work. But I just have 10 disciples there. Labor with the 10, they will become 100. I will become 100. Is this workforce becoming 100? Do we like what we have? Do you think I will have peace of mind if some people, part of us, go outside the city to start works? Do you think I will have peace of mind? Uh-huh. The opposite is the case if we are not serious with what we have. If you don't focus on what you have, you will lose it. Interestingly, nothing is ever lost from the body. It is only handed over to somebody else. Nothing is ever lost. Are you listening to me? But I know you now have a culture of keeping us here till late. Not because I like night times, but because I love moments like this that I can talk to us. But if you look at our lifestyle and our world today, our engagement has made us to only have times in the evening. And that's fine. That's okay. Ezekiel Church, you must stick to what you have and build it to grow. I'm going to do is join their ministry. They will tell you that. I'm telling you about a personal experience I have had in the church that I had pastored. I'm not giving you a story. You want to pull out, you can't pull out. Start an organization or a cult. You can't pull out. They need anything you have it in your church to take it. Yes. Take your chairs, they might not return it. Can't come. They will rope you and say that, can trip you that to service to the Lord. And they use it to build their political parties. Because they are working for political parties. If you were smart enough, you would have seen it in the last election. That they were working for political parties. Interestingly, they failed to show you God was not behind them. God was not behind these churches. The last political party showed us that the Lord was not behind the churches and what they were doing. There's a church that the assembly is 100,000 every service. More than 100,000. We brought the candidate. The same candidate went to Lagos, stood on the podium of the man of God and said, and millions are watching, and said, this is the anointing.
anointed of God. He left there again, went to more than 15, 16. Went to different whatever. Went to their largest congregation. Not only was he announced there, the members were forced and mobilized to vote for him. Yet he lost vote for him. So we are not a political party. We are for all political parties. Because our goal is the men in those parties. Are we together, church? So you also must recognize that your pastor here is not someone that is not exposed. It's just normal that you will not know the level of your pastor's exposure from the pulpit. You will only know it as you walk with him in his private life. That's all. The pulpit is not a place to know the extent of your pastor's exposure. You will only see the fruit of it in his ministerial decisions and other areas. That's it. So, send you there. Please join this. A pastor like that went to join Red Cross.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't say he made his choice to join Red Cross. Sometimes you feel like asking that, who trained you? Join Red Cross, join this, join that, just people are just joining. Because you want to have different kind of people in your church. No, that's not how to happen. You go evangelize them. When we start doing the tedious work, we will not fall into the ditch of wanting to have things done easily. No. So you will give our auditorium over to Red Cross Society to show that we like them. So when we are having crusade, it's powered by Red Cross. Who? Crusade powered by Red Cross. Are you okay? Are we together? That is accountability. Accountability means to stay with what we have given you and to not greedily pursue to have a kind of increase or influence that we did not ask you to have. It is fine when you are trying to have the influence in your own natural life, well, that's fine, no? But not in the name of the ministry. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? There's nothing in saying that, oh, the pastor feels that he wants to join Red Cross. There's nothing wrong with that. Even though he must be accountable, but there's nothing wrong with that. But to say that, oh, sir, I want our church to be what? We'll just remove you. There are some suggestions that you make that our response will not be yes or no. Our response is that on Sunday morning, you just see another brother there. And the brother will come fully prepared with notes to teach. And we'll make sure he arrives minutes before you start preaching. The moment he shows up there, he says, Pastor, I'm here now. If he is accountable, I'm here now. Just give the phone to the pastor. All right, we are not teaching today. Please pick your bags and return to city now. I want to see you. So you please prepare to stay there for the next 6 months. Let us stay there for the next one. Because we have observed that this one is having tendencies of Gehazi. The problem of Gehazi was that it was not what? Accountable. And definitely, you and I know that could not have been the first time Gehazi would do such thing. You know it's not the first time. You know it's not the first time. Eh? It wasn't the first time. You already observed Gehazi that there was a time the widow's child died, Abby. Right? What did Elisha do? Elisha did what? He gave him the staff, Abby, and told him how to do what? To administer the staff. Was he able to get the child to raise up? Hafunlokpa, Opa was Shelowa. Opa was Shelowa Gehazi. What did I say? Opa was Shelowa Gehazi. I can lay hands on an handkerchief and give it to Gehazi. I say, go and cast out the devil. Then just place the handkerchief on the demon. Did you know that the power was not given to Gehazi? Eh? Eh? The power was given to what? Was put in the what? In the rod. Yet, the rock said I would not walk because I was given to Gehazi. Has Elijah used the same rod before? What did Elijah later use to raise that child? Was it the same rod? Eh? Are we together? Are we together? So the same rod that is working, the same method, style that we are using to produce results, will now send you somewhere. You will now use that same style. You won't get results. The same style.
So let me round up here. The last thing we said is how much? As much as what? As you should. So I said you cannot be over accountable.
I'll close here.
You cannot be what? Over accountable.
Continue with us tomorrow afternoon after service. We're having a single session.
You cannot be what? Over accountable.
You can't be over accountable.
So every year, you must grow in accountability. It's a sign of spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? What does spiritual growth has to do with accountability? Spiritual growth has to do with accountability because accountability shows this is what is on your mind. Is it clear? This is what is on my mind. This is on my mind. This is on my mind. This is on my mind. Don't use resources for what they are not meant to be used for. Accountability. Is it clear? Accountability. Accountability. Don't use church money for what is not supposed to be used for. Remember a time like that, that one or two of our cell leaders then, they will use cell offering to eat. Cell offering. We just go and say, where is your offering for yourself? What you know? And they will not say it with remorse. They will say it like, what's wrong? I have never done it in my life. I've never done it. See, where is sell offering? Imagine. Then the moment he said it, I will send somebody. Did you look by our offering? And you? Quickly go and collect offering. I sent somebody off to quickly go and be collecting offering. So that they will not use it to eat. There's even time that the person was not able to collect the offering. By the following day, that the person will go and collect. Mutina. Offering. What should we ask the person? Who did what? Who trained you? Ministry cannot be done without training. There's nothing worthwhile. And if you want to know the trainings of a local assembly, focus on the teachings. So the teachings of a church are to do two things. Number one, they provide the template and the information of the training. They provide the template and the information of the training. The what, the why of the training. The trainings themselves are the how. They provide a template. Template means this is what we are trying to do. This is how it will look like. The teachings of a local assembly. Are we together? Number two, the teachings are also the spiritual meal.
So by listening to them over and over and over and over and over, I find the strength to go through the training. What am I saying, in essence? Pray for me. Look at me, everybody, and don't write this time around. Just look at me. The teaching of our church, especially moments like this, when I'm talking to you heart to heart, is not the training. It's part of the training, but it is not the training. The trainings of your church are practical. So I pick my phone and I rebuke you for not getting an information early. And I tell you that I ensure that the next thing you are told to me, the information comes in. Then just about around the time when I fail the information you have dropped, I charge you up and I say, have you sent the report? And you say, yes, I've sent the report. You acted on the teaching. The action on the teaching is the training. So pastor is not training you because I'm talking to you. I'm training you because I will make you to do what I am telling you. The template of a pastoral ministry which we see and have received in Christ is a shepherd in the life of his flock. To what intent, therefore, is this method of ministry? And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Then they did the doctrine, the fellowship. They broke bread and they prayed. That is the doctrine. The doctrine was the fellowship, the meetings, the interactions, the breaking of bread, which is love shared amongst the brethren, and the prayers, making power available for the mission of the church. The fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers was acting on the apostles' doctrine. So, to what intent is this mode and method of ministry? It is to the intent that you know how to pastor. It is to the intent that you not only know what is handed to you, but you actually know how to minister it. To what intent is this mode or method of ministry? It is to the intent that you are equipped with what to give, even as those you give it to come around. Hear me clearly. You must demand accountability from those you are discipling. You must lodge the need for them to learn it when you have issues carrying them along. Leaders here, you must demand accountability from workers in yourself. And workers in the cell must demand accountability from all that are being discipled. So the teaching, the words I'm speaking unto you, they give you the template. They show you what we are trying to do. When we succeed at what we are trying to do, how will it look like? What I am saying to you, show you what it will look like. This is how a local church will look like. This is how ministry will look like. This is how a minister of the gospel will look like. In accountability, because that's the current subject. In prayer is there. In the gifts of the Spirit is there. In love work is there. In devotion and zeal is there. In the leading of the Spirit is there. Those are the subjects we're going to look at in the subsequent monthly fellowships. The leading of the Spirit in ministry. Are you with me? So, the things I'm saying to you will do those two works. Number one, they provide you with the templates and the contents of what we are trying to build. And second thing, is that the things I'm saying to you is the spiritual meal. They are the things you should consistently listen to. They are the things you should consider. I told you some weeks ago that I see some of you on strange websites. Any website that is not that of your local assembly, I don't know what you are doing there. I don't know what you are doing there. I don't know what you are doing there. I don't know what you are doing on websites, blogs, pages. Except you are out to pick up information for your natural whatever, that's fine. But if it's ministry, serving the Lord, spiritual growth, you are wasters when you do that. You are wasting time, resources, ministry, labors. You are sabotaging and frustrating your training of focus when you do that. They provide the template and the content, and they are the name. So what then is the training? Trainings are practical. Trainings can be handed over. So it is okay that your pastor demands accountability, because it is by demanding it that you're trained. It is okay that your leader demands accountability, demands faithfulness. Faithfulness is the breath of ministry. So I'll close what I started with. When you see large institutions, strong institutions, there is always something to learn in the virtue. Even if you don't believe in their cause, there is a virtue that has made them strong. Even if you don't believe in their vision and destinations, there is a virtue that has made them big. That same virtue is responsible for why everything goes strong, big, and stands the test of time, pressure, and opposition. One of such virtues is being faithful. Stick with what you are given. That is when you will understand it. Stick with what you are given. That is when you will understand it. Stick with what you are given. That is when you will see yourself in it. You will see your place in it. Stick with what you are given. That is when you will find grace to actually act and live it out. Stick to what you are given. That is when you will be able to pass it on. There is nothing worthwhile being built that the ingredient of faithfulness is not part of it. And one of the greatest signs of faithfulness is accountability. And if faithfulness is a sign of growth, then I can grow in faithfulness, and I can also grow in accountability. Report it. And report it in time. Late accountability sometimes is not accountability. Because what is the essence of saying it? When giving direction, he's already defeated. What's the essence of saying it? When giving you direction is no more possible. I told someone, I said, the fact that you are accountable does not even mean that you already don't know what to do. No. It doesn't mean you don't know what to do. And one of the things that accountability does, that accountability gives you wisdom beyond your own. You are able to see it sometimes when you are accountable. You are able to see that decision in the light of somebody else's experience and mind. You know, in driving, there's what we call blind spots. In driving, there are blind spots. One of the rules in driving is that don't drive in the blind spots of the other drivers. That's why sometimes you have to go through a good driving, tutelage. You are taught possible driving spots. Sometimes you can be in the driving spot. Now, it might not hurt you,
Until you try doing that around a truck, then you are gone. Or a trailer. You don't know that you actually are the blind spot. There is a blind spot. There are spots that the driver cannot see. I know he's told to have his lenses at the right places, position his cameras and his mirrors and that, but they are blind spots. They are blind spots. So just like you also being a driver, you have blind spots. Areas you can't see. So accountability on the road is that you don't go to his left, you are at his right. And being at his right, you on. Overtaking the trail, you on. You look at everything, everything is fine. You look at the lines on the road. Or if the lines of the earth, there are lines on the highway. When you're going to the highway, you see these lines are separate lanes. Some of those lines, the way they are ruled is to tell you, don't overtake here. Some of them will tell you, you can overtake now. The lines, they mean different things. Then you on. By then you on. If the guy doesn't want you to overtake, he will tell you. If the road is free, wants you to go, he will tell you. That's accountability. You have blind spots. So the illustration I give is because you are in his blind spots. But you also have blind spots. Things you can't see, but somebody with a greater experience sees. I tell you this, I close here. I see sometimes, because you are not in charge, your vision is limited. Your sight, rather. What you can see, your judgment is always a function of what you can see. So because you are not, if you are not the overseeing pastor, there is a lot you already might not consider in your decision making. And the only way you can function effectively as a member of that team is that you defy a lot to the oversight, to the overall oversight. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you are doing in good faith, but it's not according to God. There are some things you can't see. For example, as a cell leader, there are some things you cannot see about other cells, that is the pastor and us. When you differ, you will get a directive that will not hurt the move of other cells. Because you are just a piece, an important one, but you are just a piece on the field. When you report, you get a directive that has considered other pieces. Because the person you are referring to is standing up, can see. So you don't say, I saw something coming, I was moving so that it doesn't. I saw they shot something, so I was moving to that place so it will not go. I already sent something else to neutralize it, but you got in the way, so it neutralized you, so we killed you. You would have taken instruction and said, that is coming, am I clear to go? They will say, no, we have sent something mightier that will neutralize you. Now you got into the way and we killed you, because you don't have the wisdom of a soldier on the field. Accountability. Look at the military. Any sort of accountability. If a soldier sees a leaf that is moving too fast, he will report it. Because he is on a spot on the field. But he knows that at the base, they have a drone upstairs that can see the leaf. He will report it. Any sport, he will report it. If a soldier sees a kid, he will report it. Because they know that the base is sophisticated to see more. They see that kid is actually, under that kid, there are 10 men with guns. If you try to rescue him and you drop your own artillery, they will finish you. I mean, she's like that. The your common sense, your wisdom, your security, your strength, your covering, your stability, your smartness, your intelligence, many times, is in your accountability. Pray for yourself tonight for 3 minutes. That the Lord will help your accountability and your faithfulness. Pray over what you have tonight. So it is normal that your pastor will train you. In training, there is the teaching of the word. Pray for yourself. Ensure you're talking to the Lord. I'm accountable. I want to build this team. I want to build. I don't want to ruin. I don't want to make mistakes. The wisdom of accountability. Pray in the Holy Ghost. What areas do you feel that you should not report? Don't have such prideful conclusions in your heart. What aspects I felt, I don't have to report this, I don't have to talk about this. I'm fine with this. Sometimes it's just pride, the pain of that pride. I'm praying that the Lord will help you to see how to walk with other men. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Hobrakasteshido mumbrahapiki. Shabana fronomongos to soil. Tenaminiongos pakiumbrahatiki. Vastelede. Stelegeni kongos to vacam. Vajastino kumbaba. Dedicated the head to Pray for the wisdom of a team builder. Wisdom of a team builder. Everyone here ought to be team builders. I will not be a lone ranger. No, I will not. I will not be a lone ranger. No, I will not. I will not be a lone ranger. I will not be a lone ranger. I'll not be a lone ranger.